3, 2, 1. Transmission.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Men were men back then, I'll tell you. You wanted to do something private with another man, it wasn't gay. No, it's just two men celebrating each other's strength.
Shut up, man. Are you homosexual?
I'm gonna bite my pillow. It's what I'm gonna do.
Being a dick.
Hey, Lisa.
Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so bad? Why does being suck so badly?
All right, well, I'll leave you to say that, and I'll just thank you for joining me as you're saying that. Being from KROQ, I do appreciate you being on Showbiz tonight.
Thank you for having us. Popo's out.
How is your health? Are you good? You all right there, pal?
I'm fine.
Okay, right, that's good.
That's funny for so many reasons.
And now,
I'm on the verge of vomiting right now.
Our feature presentation.
Hey, me too. How about that?
You're on the verge.
Yeah.
Still?
Good times.
Good times.
On the verge of vomiting right now.
Oh, Lord.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday, the 13th of January.
Vaginas are beautiful.
We're going to take your phone calls for the 5:30 edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, as we do every day at this time. 1-800-520-1067. It's going to be a very distracting program today. I'm a little nervous about us keeping things on track.
Why? What's the problem?
Well, apparently our Ask a Stripper, scheduled for the 8 o'clock hour.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Apparently she's already here.
Yes,
and we're going to be asked to work when we have a stripper in the next room, and that's inconsiderate of her to be here so early and be so tempting, so young and so pretty,
all of that, yes,
still wearing clothes and yet so early and not doing us any good.
Should we just start early and just do the whole show that way?
Maybe Ask a Stripper starts at 6 and ends right at 9.
Anybody else have a question? Anybody else? Call now. Anyone.
Mike's already flirting with her before he knew she was our visiting stripper. He's already trying
to get
that.
Who did he think she was?
Well, we didn't know. There was just, she was
some random hot chick walking around.
She was sitting in the phone ops room, which is odd for a guest. And I came in and I said, Mike, who is that? And he said, I don't know. So he went to see, and she said hi and her name, and he said his name. And then she said, I like your shirt. And he said, I like what you're wearing. And he came back in and I said, so who is it? And he said, I have no idea.
He just forgot that he had a mission when he went in there,
completely,
which was to find out if there was a security breach at K-Rock. And instead, he just started thinking about his penis.
She gave him a compliment. That's all it takes
and
to throw him off.
And his little eyes got starry and he stumbled away.
And so that shirt, by the way, of all, that's what surprised him.
It's
so
surprising,
funny how quickly you get flustered, because she had her head down. She was reading something when I walked in. And I said, hey, how you doing? And when she looked up, she turned out to be hot, and it totally, like, screwed, like, your whole plan goes right out the door, you know? Like,
did you have?
I was going to find out who she was and just see what she was doing.
How hard was that to do, really?
How does that plan?
Well, you know how it goes. Like, when you assume it's a normal person, that's fine. And then you find out it's a hot chick, you're like, oh, man. And everything, like, my brain started getting all flustered and
Well, how are we going to concentrate on, I don't know, talking to Gugu the Killer Panda or whatever nonsense we've got lined up? How are we going to concentrate on that when she's in the other room and she's just sitting there just, you know, waiting for 8 o'clock? I'm concerned.
I'm concerned she's in the other room. Why is she not in here? That's my
traffic. That's a good idea.
Is that always the first thing that comes to your mind?
Look, somebody has to be sacrificed, and it might as well be anyone.
By the way, Lightning fashions himself to be like the Kid Rock of our generation and our, you know, our building. And he's always talking about, we need music, we need a stripper pole. The one time we have a stripper in here, no stripper pole.
Good point. We were going to do that. Remember?
We were.
Get a stripper pole?
One of the many things we were going to do and never did.
There's not a ton of space, but that would be worth cramming in.
That's what she said.
All right. Well, anyway,
the ceiling, actually, it would be difficult.
Well,
with
let's
the ceiling,
fix it.
But we can figure it out.
We'll meet the beautiful Austin coming up later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show for Ask a Stripper. First, though, why don't we take some phone calls?
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
You're so sharp, though, Mike. I'm surprised you're not working for the CIA because
that's true.
The way your mind works with that sort of thing is great.
He is good.
What's her name?
Okay.
How about a pair of tickets to the Monster Jam? Speaking of former producer Lightning, that's going to be at Angel Stadium on Saturday, January the 24th. A lot of people enjoy seeing those things. Monster Jam is brought to you by Advance Auto Parts and Ford Trucks. Tickets available now through Ticketmaster.com.
1-800-520-1067 is the number. And let's begin with Eric in Ontario. Good morning, Eric. Hello, Eric. Turn down your radio.
Come on, Eric. Hey,
let's be a tool. Let's see how good we sound.
Not good.
Let's begin with the doofus with the radio on.
Let's put Eric back on hold and try him just one more time.
Right. Yeah, Eric.
It sounded like he was finally getting to the part where he knew we were talking about
it
for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Now they picked it up in the other room. Okay.
Why are they doing that?
I can't answer that. K-Rock, hello.
Hello.
Hi, what's going on?
Hey, just want to call, let you guys know, I'll volunteer to put the stripper pole on.
Okay.
Oh, I construction like a man worker? Who can take care of things.
Hold on.
Are you a construction worker?
Yeah, I am. Okay. I'm actually just about to get to work right now.
They do have a portable stripper pole that that some ladies do have in their house that is the type of thing that could be picked up and moved and easily assembled here at K-Rock, but I don't think we have one handy, do we?
No, we don't. That would be good, though. I mean, to be able to put it in any room you want.
Right.
Sometimes it needs to be in the office. Sometimes it needs to be in here, depending on where we are.
Because I'm unclear what stripping is all about. I think I'm going to need some sort of a demonstration later so I know what it is we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. All right, hold on. We'll get your information, okay?
Yeah, I'll work right now. Hit Donna right now, huh?
Oh, we don't have the pole. That's what she said.
That's what she said. Thanks for the try. Anyway, we appreciate it. Let's go to line three. We'll talk to the dubiously named Polo in Pasadena. Hey, Polo. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd
it
do?
Hey, how are you guys doing, man? Kevin and Bean. Lisa May.
Good morning.
What's going on?
Hey, I was watching this program yesterday on KCAL 9, and it's called The Doctor. Mm-hmm. And they're showing this girl on TV, and I could have sworn it was Lisa May. And they're showing her vagina.
Now, wait a minute. What's The Doctor? It's a real doctor show, or they...
Yes. They show a lot of procedures that go on, and it's a pretty neat program. It's pretty interesting.
Right, but what they don't do is show vaginas on Channel 9. Oh, I do know that much.
That doesn't happen.
No, they did not show the actual thing, but, you know, but just the procedure that was going on, and they were all there, you know?
Okay. Really, they were all there?
I was a little concerned that he recognized my vagina.
What was it? What was it that made you think it was Lisa May?
I don't know because I see her on KRock.com.
Right.
So I kind of look like her.
You look like me. Okay. And it's a beautiful flower.
Mm. Okay. Thank you, Polo. I'm guessing that's the end of that story.
Is the name of that show, huh?
Hmm.
How is it? Have you never heard of that, Bean?
I don't get Channel 9.
We found a TV show that Bean hasn't heard of.
We have to watch it all the time and then mock him with things we've seen that he can't see.
I can't get that channel. It bums me out because I love Channel 9. Hey, let's try Mitch in Huntington Beach. We may have an update on the stripper pole.
Hey, Mitch.
Hey, what's going on, long-time listener? What'd it do, boo?
What'd it do?
What's happening?
Hey, baby.
What's going on?
Nothing much. I got a two-story pole from an old Fritz's.
Okay. All right now.
I'm a carpenter.
Did you say a two-story pole?
He did.
Yes, sir, I did.
Two-story pole.
Whoa, with the language. Whoa. Come on.
He'll cut that effing thing. He'll cut it.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I think that's a good thing, right? We want to get this, right?
I'm thinking how management will go with how they'll feel about construction in the studio of installing a stripper pole.
I think when they meet Austin, everything will be okay.
Oh, that's a good point.
And can it get worse?
Justify the means.
Honestly, can it get worse?
No.
That's true.
Honestly.
All right, we'll talk to Mitch off there and see if he really has that and if he really can come down and get it installed before Ask a Stripper Day. That's a good idea.
I think it'd be great if he had a two-story pole and we just installed it and you're driving down the road, you see the pole sticking up the top of the building. Birds sitting on it.
We are committed.
Let's take one more call for Kevin Means What to Do Nephew, the beautiful Caitlin, who also sounds like she has a stripper name, is in Glendora, and she's on line one. Hi, Caitlin, what to do?
Hey, what it do, nephew?
What's going on?
Well,
you say I'm bummed.
I am bummed. I dropped my BlackBerry in the toilet yesterday.
Oh.
Was the toilet clean?
It was
an after.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Say goodbye to that BlackBerry then. Sorry.
Did you honestly think about never getting it out?
I stood there for a while thinking, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well.
But
yes, Michael?
Well, what?
Was
you have something
after
more to say?
Yeah, well, which.
Well,
who cares? I mean,
because
really,
number one's completely. It is completely
pretty big
sterile.
Difference.
I mean, it looks bad, but it's still. It's not that big a deal if you wipe it off and stuff.
No. I had to fish it out.
Okay, and then did you try it again?
Well, I washed it off with soap and water because it was wet anyway, right?
Right. No, that's good. You
yeah, no. The soap, really?
That's what you do is you add soap and water to an electronic.
It's well, not. It doesn't.
Wet,
right.
But it doesn't work anymore, right? That's the point.
Well, that's the thing I'm wondering because it's a work BlackBerry, right?
Right.
So
okay,
turned it on yet, right?
It's all gray. The screen is all gray.
Oh.
Yeah. Look, you need to do a little bit of internet research on this because I last year dropped my iPhone into the dog's water dish and I found out that I made critical mistakes in the few minutes after retrieving it from the water dish. And had I known the information that was available out there, I could have saved it and would be using it today. Instead, it was worthless.
But what good is research going to do her? She already washed it with soap and water.
Clean it up. Your BlackBerry in the toilet. What would you do?
Well, anything not involving water. I mean, I think it's more important to get dried out.
Yeah.
Because
water is bad for electronics.
But there are some things that, I mean, like it matters whether her battery is off or on. Like if she hasn't turned it on and it's
on. It was a BlackBerry. I leave it on all the time.
I'm just trying to help here, baby. I'm just trying to help. Don't yell at me. Okay?
Don't yell at us.
You're the one that washed it with soap and water, not us.
Remember when it happened to me and we heard that there's some sort of thing you can put it in, that some sort of salt or something. Remember
yes,
you could put it
baggie.
In that's in a baggie that kind of sucks the moisture out. I mean, there is stuff that you can try anyway.
As long as you didn't turn it on, because if you turned it on.
But it was already on.
Yeah. You're screwed.
Then you're hosed. Yeah, but you have a bad attitude, so I'm actually glad you lost.
I love you.
No, but Caitlin, this is a work one. So what? So say it got broken, they'll give you another one.
Yeah, I'll tell them I dropped it in the toilet. That won't be humiliating.
Well, no, you don't have to tell them that.
Tell them
but
you
go ahead.
It with soap and
she makes bad decisions every direction. Every step of the way, she's a bad decision maker. What's going on with her? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
All right.
All right.
We are going to talk to John Kilduff, who is the best TV host ever.
Yes. Let's paint TV.
Let's paint TV. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but it's pretty strong.
It's a great show, and the reason we're having him on is, A, he deserves, you know, our affection, but B, there's a very good possibility that Let's Paint TV is gone just because of something that's completely out of his control, which is that Time Warner no longer financing public access television. So his show would be among many that would no longer continue, but his is the only one that we know and watch, so that's why we're sad about that one.
Yes, I'm your host, John Kilduff. We're going to get to painting, we're going to do some exercising, and of course, we're going to make some wonderful blended drinks.
And I know juices are the way to go, you know? I mean,
definitely.
It keeps you healthy. And and this is Santa Monica mess, gang.
All right. All right, man. Hello, caller.
Santa Monica.
All right. Kind of a good brisk walk.
Santa Monica.
Oh, okay.
My favorite thing about that guy is that he's walking on a treadmill completely out of breath from the first second.
Right.
And painting. And that's somebody else is making mixed drinks, and he takes nothing but abuse on the phone calls.
Yep.
And for some reason, that to him seems to be working.
Yep.
If nothing else comes out of our conversation today, I hope he'll announce there's some sort of a DVD of the complete collection of Let's Paint TV, because I need to own it.
Because if you didn't see the one with Psycho Mike and Omar on it, you're missing out. Sarah Chalk will be on the program today. She's Elliot from Scrubs.
Oh, she's great.
We're going to do Ask a Stripper. I don't know if we mentioned that or not.
Maybe.
We are going to talk about Gugu the Panda.
Gugu the Killer Panda.
Sorry, I don't have killer in the description. And we're going to talk about how the Arizona Cardinals are going to smash the Eagles this weekend.
You've been saying that your whole life.
I have. I've been all over that. All right, we'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph. Showbiz beat next. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 551.
Kings of Leon, Foo Fighters, and yes, for our friends in Glendale, System of a Down. Coming up next hour, Ralph Garman joins us now for the Tuesday early edition of the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Amy Winehouse's husband wants out of their marriage.
Yeah.
I thought that was already done.
No.
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 So you're saying no?
Yesterday, Blake Fielder Civil's attorney filed divorce proceedings on behalf of his client on the grounds, and I quote, of Amy's adultery.
Oh,
well,
that's
whoring around on vacation, you've been telling us.
She is in. She is on the island of St. Lucia, and she has been seen with a guy named Josh Bowman, a former rugby player. And the lawyer says, that's it. Now the marriage is just over. Forget it.
For God's sakes.
Forget all the drug use and crimes and battery and face.
Ruff, doesn't it seem like they've spent, I don't know, less than a week together in the last year?
Well, he's been in prison for a year, hasn't he?
And when he got out, he went straight to rehab.
Right. Then she left the country.
Does that mean someone's having sex with her now?
This Josh Bowman like dude, according to Chris. All the stories and photos.
Chris.
Would you want to go now?
I wouldn't want to go ever.
Okay.
In her early days, when she was looking okay, she would not be on my radar. For sexual liaison.
Yeah, it seems like you would get injured somehow quickly.
Your self-esteem would get injured, I know that much.
I just can't shake the feeling that woman is a complete tool.
So apparently the kids just can't make it work.
Oh, man.
I wish they would get together and douse themselves with gasoline and light themselves on fire.
I wonder if she has any money that's worth him going after.
I would imagine she does.
She's kind of gone through it by now.
Yeah, I would think so. It's not like she's out there touring, but she's not really touring or anything, you know? Working.
She does occasional gigs.
Imagine what she spent on drugs. Can you imagine?
Yeah, it's a pretty big bill. It's a
lifetime of finances right there. In the celebrity sick bay, Mariska Hargitay from Law & Order SVU apparently has a partially collapsed lung.
Oh my gosh. You know, she wasn't at the Golden Globes.
No, she was not, Lisa. Yeah. Excellent eye. Good eye. Good eye. A representative for the star says that she won't tell exactly how it happened, but she will say that she is feeling better and plans on being on all the remaining episodes of the series this season. Mariska's just 44 years old, and no word yet on why her lung collapsed, but that's weird.
No, that isn't normal.
She's got some big lungs, too. You
hear that every day.
Also in the sick bay, Howie Mandel.
Uh-oh.
Heal or don't heal? He's asking himself that right now.
Come on.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You have the rest of the day off.
People magazine said that although it was rumored he had a heart attack, he did not. It was simply an irregular heartbeat that he was hospitalized for, but he's expected to be back at work today in Toronto, where he's filming his new NBC show, Howie Do It.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
Is that a joke?
No, haven't you seen the commercials for Howie Do It?
I have, yeah.
Oh, it's like a big prank show where he puts his fingers in people's food and stuff, and they go, what? What? You can't do that. And he takes off his wig and glasses, and it's Howie Mandel.
That's bullshit.
Which makes everything all right.
Really?
Yeah. He's like a bad waiter who comes with his fingers in your water and stuff. Oh, it's hilarious. Wow. Maybe that's why his heart gave out on him.
He knows.
Caught a screening of how he do it.
That's bullshit.
More sickness news. Tom Brady and Gisele Bündchen are engaged.
That's no.
Sick. People magazine says that he popped the question over the weekend with a diamond solitaire ring. And apparently they're considering either a big springtime affair or a quickie in Costa Rica. By quickie, I'm assuming they mean a quick ceremony.
Sure.
Yeah.
Right.
So, congratulations. More celebrity quarterback news. As if she couldn't get any more disgusting, we've got some news about Jessica Simpson. Apparently, she likes to keep her hair dirty.
Okay.
Her hairdresser, according to Star Magazine, told her once that she should only wash her hair two or three times a month.
A month.
What?
He told her if it looks greasy, you should wear a hat, which is what she does. And she says that when it starts to smell, she sprays it with perfume.
No.
Oh, she's not living in the
1700s. Good time.
Why?
What's up with
that?
Who told her this?
Her hairdresser.
She needs a new hairdresser.
I have heard that there are some people who overwash their hair and it makes it unhealthy because you're taking whatever the essential oils are out and you shouldn't necessarily wash it every day. But clearly once every 10 days is not enough either.
No, it is not.
God.
Jessica Simpson, imagine her with greasy, smelly hair.
No.
And then she talks to you.
No.
On top of it.
That is not sexy.
No. Well, Tony's got a lot of time now. Tony Romo, our boyfriend.
That's true.
He's in an early offseason. Maybe he can watch his, her
sit
hair
around and watch
her.
The playoffs.
I think we've got a new girlfriend for Dave the King of Mexico.
Oh.
Amanda Bynes.
She's really? Very cute.
According to Fox News, she showed a bit of poor form while at the Critics' Choice Awards last week. Onlookers were blown away by the fact that she was text messaging during the entire event.
Love perfect. Right there.
Paying no attention to the award ceremony going on in front of her at any time.
How about that?
And because she was texting, she was the only one in the audience who didn't stand up during the standing ovation for the late Heath Ledger when he won the award for Best Supporting Actor. Ooh. She was still sitting there texting. Luckily, someone nudged her and talked to her and made her stand up after everyone else had already ridden.
She didn't know why, but she stood up.
Yeah, she stood up.
I thought they were doing the wave.
Sounds like a match made in Dave.
Hey, Hibbert. Baby, what's up? Hey, how you doing? Good looking? Woo! Hey, you want to hook up or what?
That's the King of Mexico.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Hey, how's Dave handling the new law that went into effect this week? That you're not allowed to text while you drive anymore.
He's quit driving. He's not going to drive anymore.
He's not changed anything.
No.
Still texting.
He doesn't text anyone.
By the way, Mike texts every single time he drives, too.
You still do?
Every single moment I'm on the road.
Mike.
Yeah. Why do you do that?
I'm most of the time.
What do you have to say? It's that important, by
very
the way.
Very important
you know
stuff.
What, by the way, most of the time I'm not even texting. I'm emailing. I'm writing, like, I'm responding to emails and stuff. Or it's just, I just am. No one has changed anything. Every time I look in a car, because I have a kind of a higher car, I look down, everybody's texting. No one's stopping.
Oh, if everybody's doing it, then it must be okay.
No, but I'm saying, stupid law, stop it.
Well, you know, I know you are a long-haul trucker, and so you do have to spend all that time behind the wheel. You have no time to just go home and write an email or make a phone call or something. You have to do it in the car because you don't have time doing anything else.
Yeah, well, when I'm at home.
You're busy getting poultry from one side of the country to the other.
When I'm at home, I've got my eyes on something else like TV, so I can't waste my time texting.
I'm sorry, you can drive and text at the same time, but you can't watch TV and text at the same time.
I can,
is this
but
what you're telling
I
us?
I can do it, but what if I miss something good on TV? What if I, like, lose track
he's
of what
got a point.
About?
He's got a point. When else is he supposed to do it than when he's on the road?
I don't see much change in people holding a handheld cell phone since the law went into effect either, by the way.
I don't see that much anymore.
I don't see that much either.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that much on the island, Bean? People driving around with cell phones? Really? Catching that a lot as you do your rounds in a go-kart or whatever it is you drive up there?
I'm just telling you that people tend to ignore those laws because they know how unlikely it is they're going to get pulled over for it.
I'm just telling you, you don't get to say what people do. You don't see people.
I do see people.
You have to be right.
Frogs or swan or something, then we'll ask you what they do, okay? We'll handle the people end. And Megan Fox, oh, Kevin, you missed the big Megan Fox brouhaha yesterday.
Heard this morning.
It was a
way in.
There was a ha, and then another ha.
It was both?
It was all the three of those things. I think we have our answer now.
Okay.
I think she was trying to be funny.
She had
self-deprecating and funny and just failed on both levels. Because apparently she was asked, while on the red carpet of the Golden Globes, where her fiancé Brian Austin Green was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And apparently she popped back to a reporter from the San Francisco Gate. He doesn't want to be here. He doesn't want to be my date. I don't think he cares.
Oh, I see.
So she's trying, apparently, to be flippant and humorous and is kind of flat.
In that same interview that we played portions of earlier this hour, she was asked the same question. Where is he? And she said, he doesn't want to be my date. He's a man. You know, he's got an ego. He doesn't want to be out here and just be, you know, hanging on my every word or trailing behind me or whatever it was. She seemed to definitely think that there was a problem there. She's
like
just all honked up.
She's not all honked up.
I think she's honked up. I really do.
I think she's trying to act honked up. She's fine.
Yeah, she's
fine. Then at one point later in the interview, we didn't have time for it yesterday, she yelled out, but I have a 22-inch waist.
Now that is weird.
That's way weird. Yes, she did.
I think she meant that she was cinched in so much by the metallic dress she was wearing that her waist was now 22 inches.
Well, she needs to stop talking then because she's doing a terrible job.
That's the impression that I got. And I give her the benefit of the doubt.
Perhaps fewer interviews and more porn is what would be better for Megan Fox. I'm just saying.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld is 48 years old today. She's also on The Amazing Adventures of Captain Christine.
What's she a captain of?
The Salvation Army. I think she rings the bell at Christmas. Patrick Dempsey Oh, he's McDreamy.
McDreamy.
He's 43 years old today. A lot of Baywatch birthdays today. Tracy Bingham and Nicole Eggert both celebrating a birthday today.
Wow.
All right.
And one of the prettiest little actors working in show business today, Orlando Bloom, celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, let's bring her in. It's time for Ask a Stripper of the Kevin and Bean Show. She's coming in, and she's going to take your questions.
Not till later.
What? I thought we're doing... Oh, not till later. She's already here.
Talking about Goo Goo.
Why? Well, I'm talking about Goo Goo.
No, Goo Goo the panda.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, Ask a Stripper later on. What's going on with Goo Goo, who maybe has the best name of any panda I've ever heard?
Goo Goo the panda is at the Beijing Zoo, and he's attacked a human being for the third time.
Oh no.
Wow. That's
so now rare. Officials at the Beijing Zoo are trying to figure out a way to keep visitors away from Goo Goo the panda.
Well, how about a fence?
Here's what they all have in common, by the way, is that all of the human beings scaled the fence to get in the enclosure with Goo Goo.
Oh, really?
Well, then it's not on goo.
It is not on goo. That's true. The latest was a parent. Apparently, the 5-year-old tossed his stuffed animal or something into the cage.
Mm-hmm.
So the parent jumped the fence to try and get the toy, and Goo Goo chomped down on his leg and wouldn't let go. The zookeepers had to come with, like, tools, like the jaws of life, to open his jaw.
Who jumps into the enclosure of a wild animal? That's crazy.
I don't know.
I guess you just think of pandas as really sweet, docile creatures.
But would you ever, no matter how sweet you thought it was, jump the fence into the enclosure in a zoo?
No.
Goo Goo's doing the right thing.
I agree. We do have an eyewitness on the phone, apparently, from the Beijing Zoo. I'm not sure who we've been able to line up. But good morning. You're on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock here in America.
Hey, Rhonda. How you go?
Well, we're fine. Who's this? You're someone who saw this attack?
No, I'm Goo Goo.
Oh, Goo!
Yeah. How you doing?
Do you go by Goo, by the way, or is it both Goo and Goo?
Call me Goo, call me Goo Goo.
Okay.
Call me Goo Goo Goo.
What's...
Okay, we can't. We can't use that language, Goo.
What do you think it is?
Well, it sounded like maybe the elephants were a little close. I thought, are you in your cage right now?
Yeah, I'm in my cage.
And you have a phone?
Yeah.
Wow.
I took it as a guy I was biting the other day.
Oh, that's a great idea.
All right, so what
it's
happened?
It's prepaid and everything.
did Kevin get the synopsis right? The guy's kid threw a toy in and he jumped over the fence to try to retrieve it? Is that what happened?
Yeah, apparently some guy.
Are you eating?
Kid, eating bamboo shoots.
Okay.
I love bamboo shoots.
I hear that.
They call them Goo Goo shoots.
Okay.
Now, the kid threw a toy in my pen,
right,
and then he climbed in to try to get back.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I'm thinking, how much was that toy?
Yeah, no kidding.
That you had to climb in and screw with a bear.
Right. Now, Lisa pointed out that pandas are so awfully cute that maybe people think they're like teddy bears. They're just all cuddly and fun instead
not
of
so
maybe
much.
Killer animals,
well,
right?
We're kind of learning that.
We are, here's the thing, we're panda bears.
Right.
Operative word being bear.
You're a bear, right?
Bear, right.
Yeah.
How many times do you go and poke a bear with a stick or something and try to make friends with it?
Now, in 2007, if I read this article correct, some drunk guy jumped in and tried to give you a hug?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he was snorting vodka.
Oh, do you?
But that's not a good idea.
No, it doesn't seem like
Don't do that.
Don't hug me. I don't want to hug you. Smelly human type person.
Right.
Yeah, that's fair. And then just in October, just 3 or 4 months ago, a teenager jumped into your enclosure. And of course you did the right thing and bit him, too.
Yeah. But here's the thing. Don't climb into cages with bears.
Well, that seems obvious to us.
What the hell wrong with these people?
I don't think I would climb in your enclosure.
I'm behind bars for a reason.
Right?
I'm a dangerous animal.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, I eat bamboo shoots, but I also eat your face.
Yeah, you
I
do.
Don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, well. I got a choice. I got bamboo shoots or your face. So it's Goo Shoots face. That's how I figure it out. That's how I try to align things.
Come on.
That's how I look at things. Those are my options.
Those are your options?
Goo Shoots
face. Okay.
Those are my choices.
In that order.
Please tell me there's a way we can rent this before the end of the call.
Oh, absolutely. It's coming soon to you. Oh, and DVD for a Hustle video.
All right, Goo.
All right, Bean.
Wow. How can you tell the difference between
you
us?
You know that zoo sound effects in the background?
Yeah.
That's what's going on. Asshole.
I'm not usually the guy who suggests that maybe it's time for the government to get involved more in people's lives.
Same here.
But we got to stop. We got to stop these celebrities with their baby names. It's just got to be done. I'm sorry. It's at the point now where I was willing to look the other way until Lisa Bonet had her kid last week. Lisa Bonet, who most of you don't remember, but she at one time was a big TV star as one of the daughters, one of the Huxtable daughters on the Cosby Show. She had a kid last week, and she named the kid Nakoa Wolf Manakwapo Namakahia Momoa.
Well,
I hope that she's not going to accept anything. There's no shortened version of that. I hope every time she says the kid's name, she requires everybody to say all 10 names. Somebody need, and they do this in some countries, like Germany, for instance, you have to get approval on your names, and some of the Scandinavian countries, same way. That's what they need to do, is somebody in a suit needs to show up at Lisa Bonet's house and say, I'm sorry, your name has been rejected. Do you have an alternate selection? And we'll put that on the birth certificate.
Yeah, bad idea. What else you got? There needs to be some type of board that makes that decision, and Bean and I need to be on it.
I agree.
So what we're going to do is we're going to open up the phones, and we're going to ask you for your creative baby names. Perhaps you haven't had a kid yet, or you're pregnant, or you're not even pregnant, and you have an idea in your mind. This is going to be a great name. I've had it in my mind for a long time. I love how creative it is.
Mm-hmm.
I think it comes from a place of trying to give their let their kids stand out a little.
Be unique somehow.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I think it has to backfire in almost every occasion.
You know, kids don't need to be unique with their names. It's hard being a kid.
I can understand why somebody doesn't want to be the eighth Jennifer in their class, though. I can understand that a little bit.
Yeah, but there's lots of other names that aren't as common.
Yeah, that doesn't mean you need to be pilot inspector either, by the way.
Bono named his kid Elijah Bob Patricius Googie Q. You know, Demi Moore and Bruce Willis, Rumor Glenn, Tallulah Bell, and Scout LaRue.
Yeah.
By the way, it's funny you should mention that because some of those kids are old enough now that those names don't really even raise, you don't even think about them anymore. When you hear the name Rumor now, it doesn't weird you out like it did when the kid was born. It's just like, I think Apple is already starting to sound pretty normal.
It does.
Now.
I mean, if you use them enough.
But
you
wait
just
a minute.
Stop thinking about it.
It might to us, but will it to Apple's classmates? No.
Probably
Apple's
not.
Classmates will beat him up, her up. Him, her. I don't know what it is. Erykah Badu named her son Seven. Jermaine Jackson, to me, this is bad enough that it's good. You know, his name is Jermaine, so he named his son Jermajesty. One word.
Wow. What's with them and the Jermajesty and the Prince? What's that all about?
Well, there's Michael Jackson then. You got your Prince Michael. And then he was not feeling particularly creative, so he went with Prince Michael II.
Which is crazy. Now, if you're the government board and Jermaine comes to you and says, I want to name my son Your Majesty, you give him a pass?
Absolutely.
You
gotta
say that's okay.
It's got to be bad enough.
There's a high school football player that I saw in the news last week in the Your Majesty vein. His name is Your Highness. First name Your, middle name Highness.
No.
Yeah, see, that's going to get someone beat up. That's the problem there. That's same with the fighter, Manny Pacquiao, named his daughter Queen Elizabeth.
Right.
Queen, first name, Elizabeth, middle name. Why are you doing that?
We are going to get to some calls in a moment. They're already flooding in. 1-800-520-1067. You've got the creative, beautiful, perfect name for your future unborn. You can run it by us here this morning, and we'll discuss. I love Bob Geldof and his girlfriend at the time, Paula Yates. They had three kids named Fifi Trixie Belle, Peaches Honey Blossom, and Pixie. Those are the three names. And then Paula Yates with Michael Hutchins, the late lead singer of NXS, she had another kid, a daughter named Heavenly Harani Tiger Lily.
Well, she's clearly the problem.
What does she think's going to happen to these kids? Does she think the other kids are going to go, yes, that's very creative. I like you more.
I don't know. I mean, you have more experience in this area than I do, Kevin, because you have kids who have gone through public school, and your kids have pretty normal names. But I think that for some kids, anyway, they don't know why some names are weirder than others because they're hearing an awful lot of names for the first time. They don't have a greater context, I think, to put it in. They don't know that Heavenly is weirder than Steve.
They get into junior high and they know.
Yeah, I mean, you know that there isn't anyone else you've ever heard with the name
Audio Science, for example.
Who's that? Who's Audio
That's,
Science?
That's Shannon Sossamon. I don't know who that is, but she named her kid Audio Science, a boy.
Oh, boy.
And you know, hey, you know what? Nobody's named Audio Science, it turns out. Penn Jillette, of course, Moxie Crime Fighter.
That strikes me as an awesome name, by the way, Moxie Crime Fighter.
Because it's bad enough?
It's just awesome. It's
funny.
It is funny. That's
true. But you could just call her Moxie, and you probably wouldn't think much of that.
John Mellencamp named his son Speck Wild Horse.
Yeah. Yeah,
he did. HUD.
Speck and HUD.
Speck and HUD.
Hmm.
All right. Great calls. Let's start with Cynthia in Redondo Beach. By the way, this may be part of the problem. Cynthia, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. How are you?
Hello.
Is your name really Cynthia with an S, or is that just our dumb phone screener who spelled it that way?
No, it's Cynthia with a C. It's
okay.
Oh,
all right.
Thank God.
I thought maybe that was part of the problem, is that you were tortured as a youngster and you wanted to torture your future kid.
No, I just love wolves. And actually, I have kids, and my husband would not let me name
them. Oh, good man.
Kids. Yeah.
Good man. What were the names that you want? What was the name that you loved?
Timber Wolfgang, and I wanted to call him Wolfie.
Timber Wolfgang.
Timber. Why Timber? Do you also love falling trees?
Well, no, it's Timberwolf.
Okay, that's what you're going for. Now, so were you jealous when Eddie Van Halen and Valerie Bertinelli named their kid Wolfgang and called him Wolfie?
I think I might have gotten the idea from them.
I see.
I was pregnant around the same time.
You're bad.
Every time I hear them call their son Wolfie, I cringe. I don't know why, but it's so stupid.
Cynthia, here's the question, Cynthia.
I loved it.
No, here's the question. Can't you love wolves and name your kid something normal? Can't you do both?
Well, obviously I can because I had to. My husband made me.
Yeah.
His name is Josh.
Oh, how boring.
I love that name.
Timber Wolfgang. Come on, Cynthia. You should thank your husband today for sparing your kid all that abuse.
As should your kid.
When we hang up, I will.
All right, thank you.
Okay, very good.
Thank you. Bye.
Wait, what happens to Wolfie, who's got to be, I don't know, 18 years old or something like that now, when the Wolfman movie comes out this year?
No kidding.
It does look great. All right, let's talk to Tammy on line one. Tammy is in Burbank. This is a word that I see from time to time. I never thought of it as a kid's name. Hey, Tam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What are you talking about?
Hey, guys. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
And you already have a kid that's named this, or you just want to in the future?
I have a son named Roosevelt. Roosevelt Howard Bingham IV, but that wasn't my fault.
Roosevelt.
That's rough.
He loves it.
Okay, but wait a minute. That wasn't your fault, but the name that I see here that you will like is even worse.
Zizix Atticus.
Zizix.
Right. Let's take that one. Let's take that one at a time. By the way, I don't think Roosevelt is that bad because at least it's a name that people know, that people can spell, that people have heard. But what is the Zizix all about?
Well, you ever drive to Vegas down the 15?
Of course.
Yeah. Oh, we've all seen that street. We've all seen that street, but that's not somebody's name, though.
Well, I'm from the South, and I always thought that was just a series of letters. I didn't realize it was an actual word, and then I said, "That's pretty cool."
Okay, but can't you think that street name is pretty cool and not saddle your kid with it?
No, I can't.
Wow.
Or can it occur to you that everyone else is going to see your kid's name and think it's just a series of letters?
Yeah, those people suck, and my kid will be awesome.
Why? Because they're going to think the same thing when they see those letters that you thought when you saw those letters on a sign?
You know what? That's a cool name. You guys are just jealous that you didn't think of it first.
That's true.
Well,
she's
that
got
is
us.
True. Of course. Hey, Tammy, did you do any research to find out why the street is named Zizix? What does it mean?
No, I didn't, but I did find out that if you take that exit, at the very end of the exit, there is a phone booth. People call it from time to time. You can find the number online, and there's this guy that sits there and just monitors this stupid payphone.
Tammy's gone. Bye bye.
Wow.
Tammy's gone. Bye bye.
You lost your marbles.
I've actually heard that before.
I have
wow.
Too. I have too.
All right, Tammy.
Okay.
Hey, say hi to Zizix for us.
Okay, I will, guys.
I know.
Oh my God.
What's happening? Why are people doing this?
I don't know.
I don't know, but if anyone turns off the radio now, it's their loss because when you see the names that our listeners have picked out for their poor, unborn, potentially one day suicidal kids, you're not going to believe them. You don't want to miss them.
Are we making progress, would you say, so far?
No. So far, no.
People out of their bad names? No, they just love it.
I know.
Come on.
thanks to what Lisa Bonet decided to name her kid, we've decided that there needs to be some sort of vetting process for your unborn baby names. And that vetting process starts at 1-800-520-1067. We on the Kevin and Bean Show will let you know whether it's okay to name your kid what you want to name your kid.
Did you see Matt Lauer's, the name of his son? Matt Lauer is married to Annette Roque.
It is horrible.
Who is Dutch, and they named their son Thijs.
But listen to how it's spelled.
It's spelled T-H-I-J-S.
That is going to be difficult for everyone involved.
No one will ever say it right or spell it right,
here's
ever.
Here's the thing about baby names. They don't make your kid interesting.
No.
Your kid needs to learn to make themselves interesting with whatever name they have. Just because you name them Thijs, people aren't going to go, wow, that kid's really interesting. Yeah. They're going to go, dumb name, I'm going to punch him in the face.
Good morning, guys. And Lisa, a couple I know have named their son Rad. Well, is there any way for that kid to escape that name, Rad? I only know that Dave the King of Mexico would like it, but no one else. Have a great day. So that's the kind of name we're talking about here. 1-800-520-1067. Sandra is in Santa Clarita on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Sandra, what's the name you have in mind?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, thanks.
Hi.
My son's name is Lage.
Lage.
Yes, L-A-G-E.
And you named your son that because?
It's my boyfriend's middle name, and his parents, I guess, played Dungeons and Dragons or something. Oh. I don't know. But
no.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, I don't do Dungeons and Dragons, but, like, I think the name is pretty cool.
Lage.
It's
nope.
It's not. No, I love it.
No, I'm sorry, it's not. You, in fact, that name should have died with whoever had it previously. You should not have passed that along and continued. Now, please make sure that your son understands that he's cursed. Do not let him pass that name down to his kids, okay?
Okay.
This is how it happens. Mom says, oh, I think that's cool. And then son's, you know, gets beat up his whole life. And then he gets to the edge. He's like, hey, I got beat up. I'm going to make my son get beat up as well.
I think that's what happens.
It's the classic boy named Sue story. Same thing. All right. How about Dana in Long Beach on line 6 on the Kevin and Bean Show? Dana, what kind of weird science fiction name have you come up with for your kid?
Well, my son's from Outer Mongolia, and his name is Zolbayer, and he goes by Zolo.
Zolbayer.
I do have a tiny bit more sympathy for ethnic names rather than just made-up names or names of ordinary everyday objects.
Or if you saw a street, perhaps an exit on the way to Vegas.
Yeah. I do understand that there are a lot of names that sound odd to us in English because we're not, in this case, Mongolian, for instance. What's the name again?
Zolbayer. Good holiday.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what it means, first of all. I wouldn't tell everybody this. Yeah. It doesn't matter what it means.
Because no one knows.
Because if people don't know, they're still going to punch your kid in the face.
Right.
Does Zolbayer, does he live in Mongolia?
No, he did last year, but he's in America, and he's been in America for 10 years.
Okay, what does he think of the name?
He's mixed emotions. Zolo is a good name. The abbreviation, nope. People call him by that, and he sort of enjoys it, but his whole name, he'd rather change to Zola Brown.
Okay.
I gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so here's, I'm glad you called, because you're the type of person that others need to hear, which is, I gave my kid an effed up name, and he doesn't like it. That's the message that needs to be transmitted here today. Thank you for the call, Dana.
Yeah. Let's go to Leonard, who is calling from Pomona. Good morning, Leonard.
What's up, guys?
What'd you name your kid?
Lazarus.
Lazarus.
But at least
that's an awesome name, man.
That's a good biblical name that people are familiar with, I understand. It's probably not spelled the way they spelled it on this screen here. You spelled it right, right?
I guess.
But isn't Lazarus, wasn't that a negative character? Wasn't that...
No, I know he's from the Bible, but I don't really know the whole story behind him. I just heard the name and I love it. So,
Lazarus.
Yeah.
It is weird that you wouldn't do a little bit of research on a historical figure like that to find out if it's a... Like, would you name your kid Hitler because it's a good name and I don't really do the research on who this Hitler guy is?
Judas?
Nah, Hitler doesn't have any punch to it. Lazarus does.
Okay. All right. No punch. All right. Thank you. Here's the thing about people who name their kids effed up things. They are not questioning it. They don't
have any
reservation whatsoever.
It's just a cool name.
How about Troy in Ontario? Line 2, please, on the Kevin and Bean Show. Talking about the effed up names. The celebrities usually come up with them, but apparently you, the fine K-Rock listener, are right there alongside them. Troy, what's the name?
It's Alucard Fahrenheit Tempest Beatty.
All right, you're fired. I can't fire you.
Do you already have this kid, or are you just hoping to name it this?
Oh, this is what I've been hoping for a long time.
Alucard Fahrenheit. What?
Tempest, and my last name is Beatty.
Tempest Beatty.
Yeah.
What's Alucard? What does that even mean?
Well, look at it backwards, and then you get it's an anagram for Dracula, but it's also a very popular comic book and a video game character name.
Wow.
You need to be, seriously, listen to me when I tell you this. I'm not joking about this. It sounds like I am. There needs to be forced sterilization on you, dude. The government needs to hold you down and say, if you're going to name your kid Dracula spelled backwards, you can't have a kid.
Dracula spelled backwards, and it's named after a comic book. That's got everything.
All right, so let me ask you guys this. If someone named their kid Logan after Wolverine, you wouldn't be giving them crap.
Logan's not that unusual a name.
Logan is it's got to be someplace within the world of other names that your kid's age, those kids are going to have heard of.
Yeah, but you can shorten Alucard just to Al.
Look, you can name. You can come up with a million names that are bad. You're not going to come up with many that are as bad as Alucard, though. Seriously, you're scraping the bottom of the bad name barrel here, Troy. Stop it. Don't do it.
Don't fight the urge.
All right. What about the middle name area, though? You know, because
what about Fahrenheit? Really?
No. Fahrenheit's a famous scientific name. I understand that, but nobody needs to be renamed that.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, she said, my girlfriend, she's all like, yeah, Gavin can work for a first name with the middle names, but I'm still pretty dead set. I've had this in my head since I was probably like 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need to stop it.
But shouldn't that tell you something? I mean, didn't you think a lot of stupid things when you were 10?
Yeah, good point.
You should have grown out of it by now.
I know I did. Wow. People.
We're out of time.
We don't have time for Gilbert Hamlin Dickinson IV. We don't have time for Finesse. Well, wait a minute. Hang on. We might have time for that
one.
Latifah?
Yes, hi.
Hi. What's your baby name?
Not my child.
Okay, but is it a child that currently exists?
It is a child that currently exists. It's my cousin's son.
Your cousin's son?
Okay.
What?
Finesse Elcock. Why would he do this? I don't know.
Finesse?
Now, I've heard the name Finesse, or a lot of baby girls named Finesse, but Elcock?
Baby boy.
I mean, that was... Oh, that's unusual.
Finesse is a boy?
I've never heard the name Finesse.
Boy.
What's Elcock, though, besides Mike's porn name from the 80s?
It's actually a Panamanian name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Do they live in Panama?
No, my family's from Panama, and the last...
Does the kid live in Panama?
The kid does not live in Panama.
All right, then. Wrong name.
Then stop it. Then stop it. That's the message that needs to be received here today from the Kevin to be named police. Stop it. So, Kevin, this is the season you're on board with American Idol when it comes back tonight, right? From the beginning, you're going to be with us, right?
You're saying that there's much less of the bad singers this year, right?
What I'm saying is you can be part of the cool kids and you'll be talking with us instead of yelling at us every day when we come in after American Idol if you get on board now.
I finally fourth judge this year. Fourth judge, Kevin. What are you saying?
Just watch and just see.
Here's the thing about it. I don't usually like any of the music that they do. So then they don't even have the original people who I didn't like singing it in the first place.
Right.
Now they're doing karaoke on a bunch of songs that I don't like. What would make me want to watch that besides alcohol?
Don't you like seeing people's dreams come true, Kevin?
That's what it is. It's the drama and the excitement of these kids with their 30 seconds in the spotlight that could change their whole life.
No, he doesn't.
Kevin
hates seeing people's dreams come true. He'll like seeing people's dreams shattered.
Kevin does like people to suffer.
No,
thing.
I'm happy for people's dreams to come true, but do I have to watch them sing crappy songs for it to happen? No. No. It's terrible.
Interesting watching new talent, new burgeoning talent come onto the scene.
That, to me, is the least amount of talent, because as you grow up and as you get, you know, your favorite bands, whoever they may be, they're never the just great singers. That's the least of the talent.
Right. And not everyone who's won American Idol has been a great singer.
Yeah.
It's been a lot of personality and other factors involved.
No.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
Taylor Hicks caught America's imagination. He was a dude with gray hair, not a great singer, but had a lot of energy, and people responded to his performance more than his quality of his voice.
Right.
Of course, he can't sell a record, but still.
He drives a sparkless water truck now, by the way. That's what he's doing. Really?
No.
Oh, I'm just kidding.
It would have been awesome.
American Idol is back.
His dreams would be crushed and Kevin would be happy.
I don't mind.
That would be awesome.
I don't mind people's dreams coming true. I hope they do. I just am not interested in that particular competition.
I wept like a baby when Fantasia won. That's all I want to say. All right, it's 6:57. Time for traffic now. Excuse me. Time for the showbiz beat now. Here's Ralph Garvin.
Oh, the five is just backed up. I cannot believe it. Fantasia Barrino is broken down in the fast lane. Being cried like a baby when she won American Idol won't help her now. She's losing her house. That's for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm telling you. I've already had an ass full of this Robert Pattinson.
Robert Pattinson?
He's the kid from Twilight?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Ass full.
Why, what's he done now?
He is, he thinks he's somebody. He is somebody.
He has been for hundreds of years.
Yeah, that's true.
He does seem, he even when he was doing publicity for Twilight, he seemed like a little bit of a prick to me.
It was begrudging, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was.
Well, now apparently he does nothing but complain about how he hates the movie's fans bothering him for autographs.
Oh, no,
it's
really?
A bitch to be you, Robert Pattinson.
Wow.
He was on a recent airplane flight, and he was overheard bitching about how he hates the movie's fans coming up and bothering him for autographs. Apparently someone on the flight crew also recognized him, asked him for a signature. He told them to go away. He just wanted to be left alone.
Sure.
Give it 5 years, Robert. You want to be left alone? Give it 5 years, my friend. You'll be left alone plenty.
He's a douche.
You'll be helping Taylor Hicks carry those big jugs of water up flights of stairs off the Sparklets truck.
Meanwhile, double Oscar winner Tom Hanks always has time for a photo and an autograph.
Tom Cruise runs across the other side of the street to sign as many autographs as he can for people waiting behind barricades at his premieres.
Yeah.
That's right.
Angelina Jolie, same thing. Why don't you just stop it, Robert Pattinson?
That's very disappointing.
Rob Pattinson? Speaking of Twilight, Vanessa Hudgens apparently has auditioned for the part of a werewolf character in the upcoming sequel to Twilight. I'm not kidding.
No, I know which character that is.
Because she's hairy. That's why. Have you seen her nude photos?
Oh, I see.
Looks like there's a full moon out while she was taking those.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Lisa, our bad. She wasn't just muffalicious.
That's just not good.
She wasn't selling the muffaletta right out of the bakery. You know what I'm saying?
The first time I saw these pictures, I thought she had a dog in her lap. I'm just saying. It was confusing.
She'll be playing, auditioning, rather, for the role of Leah Clearwater.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a character by that guy from Heroic World? Leah Clearwater.
Sounds like it.
Her superpower is she makes drinking water safe to drink. She's Leah Clearwater. She apparently is a werewolf.
Yeah.
Ashley Green, who played Alice in the original film, told People magazine the story and said, I think she'd be great. Yeah, if the werewolf breaks into song in the middle of a basketball game, she'll be fine. Otherwise, nope.
Can you say box office poison?
Records are cool again. Can you believe it?
Records?
Remember
it's
vinyl?
So true.
Remember vinyl records?
Sure.
You would have to take a piece of plastic, put it on a rotating platform, and then physically drop a piece of metal down into the grooves of that plastic, which would vibrate and create sounds.
It does sound unlikely.
Sounds like something the cavemen invented. But apparently, it's popular once again. Radiohead is re-releasing some of its singles on 12-inch. And those 12-inches will spin at 45 RPMs, just like the old days.
Mm-hmm.
Tracks include Creep, Fake Plastic Trees, Karma Police, all their greatest hits. The official
Songs they won't do in concert anymore.
Yeah. The official release date for the batch is April 21st, but you can pre-order them apparently now at insound.com if you're so inclined. But Radiohead decided to put some of their stuff on vinyl, which I think is always interesting to me.
I use my turntable at least a couple times a week, every week.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff.
But you,
lot
have,
of stuff
you have a Victrola. You crank it by hand and sit there next to the cone like the RCA dog.
I haven't had a turntable in, I don't know.
Mike does it too.
There's so much stuff that's not on CD, though. So much stuff that you still want to listen to sometimes.
Huh. Well, I have to wonder when I see those things in the back of in-flight magazines or whatever that Sky Mall thing is you read when you're on the airplane. They often just try to sell you this turntable that you plug into your computer and it takes your vinyl and turns it into digital files so you can download it and stuff like that.
That way you don't have to play it on
I've got one
on
of those,
record,
too.
You don't have to crank out the old Victrola, Bean. You can just live with us here in this day and age. Get off the front porch of the general store and playing checkers on the Cracker Barrel and come join us.
Although Bean does work the ones and twos. quite often on the weekends.
Always Vixen, yeah. So
wicka wicka wicka. Yeah,
DJ Death. I think that's his name. Today's celebrity birthdays: Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld. She's 48 years old today. Talk about old Christine.
Belle.
Aww.
No way.
I was no Belle.
Belle.
You guys.
Belle.
No
Belle.
She's cute.
She's cute.
She's cute.
Belle.
In her glory days, she was cute.
Cute, but not hot. I don't think Belle worthy is my
funny,
initial reaction.
Oh, yeah. I'd like to hang out with Elaine. She's funny. Oh, she can't dance. Ha, ha, ha.
But never thought she was hot.
No, not hot.
But cute.
Never.
But cute. But they give her cute.
She's cute.
She's not ugly, but she doesn't.
She's not unattractive.
Her personality goes a long way in towards making her cute.
Yeah. No way does she deserve a Belle.
But not Belle. Right, no Belle. Patrick Dempsey. Now there is a Belle.
Give that man a Belle.
Oh, he's dreamy. He's Mick Dreamy. Mm-hmm. He's 43. Tracy Bingham and Nicole Eggert, both from Baywatch, celebrate birthdays today. Nicole Eggert, also from Charles in Charge.
Yeah.
That was her glory days, wasn't it? She's 37 today. Tracy Bingham's 41. And Orlando Bloom turns 32 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
She's cute.
She is cute.
0.7, K-Rock is KROQ, and it's the Kevin and Bean Show at 10 minutes after 7 o'clock.
I hope it's not true, but we got a listener suggesting, after reading an article about some reorganization going on with the Time Warner cable system, got a listener suggesting that maybe there's no more Let's Paint TV. And if that's the case, then I don't know that I want to go on, to tell you the truth.
This is something that the cable companies have had to provide for a long time by law.
Mm-hmm.
They have to provide a certain amount of airtime, a certain amount of even space in studios and stuff.
Right.
To produce local television shows.
Public access, right.
Public access.
And the people are supposed to have a voice on the TV, man. It can't just be about the man telling us what to do and think.
And when you talk about the people having a voice, you talk about John Kilduff, who does Let's Paint TV. John, good morning.
Good morning. It's a sad day.
Tell me we're wrong. Oh, it doesn't sound like it. Sounds like maybe the listener was onto something. Is it true that Let's Paint TV is gone?
Well, it's for cable access, it's gone. We're no more of that. Yeah.
What did they say to you, a guy who has been entertaining the masses for many, many years in Southern California? How was the news broken to you, John?
One of the guys that work at the cable, you know, one of the production guys that work at the, you know, work behind the scenes there, just said, yeah, we're closing at the end of the year.
So they've had these studios that the cable companies have been paying rent on, basically, and having equipment and hiring employees and everything to help citizens make television like you've been doing for so long, and basically they're just shutting all that down. There is no more. So how many shows in total are affected by this, do you know?
Well, it could be thousands, but I really don't know. I mean, it could be about a thousand. I mean, you know, people come and go with their shows, but probably during the course of you know, any given day, there's probably 1,000 people trying to make their little TV shows.
Cable access, by the way, is the best.
It rules.
It's always, if you're you know, skipping through channels late at night and you find something and you go, no way is this on TV. It's usually cable access.
Now, John, I would imagine, though, that for a lot of people, they don't even go to the cable access anymore because it's so easy just to put up a YouTube channel and reach as many people or more, right?
Well, that is true. But, you know, what was great about it, this cable access, is you got people with cameras, you got blue screen, you got someone working behind the scenes pushing buttons.
You got people calling you?
You got people calling me.
That's the best part.
Yeah. Trying to encourage you for what you're doing?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, you know, like the regular Joe doesn't have to go and buy a bunch of, you know, equipment and crap like that and try to, like, figure out how to edit and all that crap.
Careful. John Kilduff is a guest on the phone, by the way. If you're not familiar with the name Let's Paint TV, John had a show where he ran on a treadmill and painted and oftentimes did something else, made blended drinks or took phone calls or did any number of other things. And your message again, John, was what? Just that you could do, most of us watching at home could do a lot more with our time than we are doing, right?
Yeah. And the fact that, you know, there's always this talk about, oh, multitasking, you can't, you got to scale back, you're doing too much. I say do it all.
Yeah. Poorly.
And at the same time.
Right,
but poorly. I mean,
it's like you got to expand that brain a little bit. You know, the brain needs to, you know, it needs a little more of an exercise.
Here's what I like about John Kilduff and Let's Paint TV, which, by the way, you can find. What's your website?
Well, it's letspainttv.com. By the way, I do the show daily on the
internet. Daily?
So I have moved on.
You do the show daily?
I run about 2-3 miles every day. blend drinks, take calls.
Who drinks your drink?
Here's what I like about John. No one, first of all. Out of
persevere.
Breath, out of breath immediately upon stepping. There's no possible way you did it the day before.
John, do you wear? How did you decide to wear a three-piece suit while you were jogging on your treadmill? That's the thing that I've always been curious about.
Well, years ago, before I did the painting show, I had a show called the Jim Barry Show, mm-hmm. where I wore the suit. You know, so it was like, you know, doing trying to be like the Tonight Show or something, wearing a suit.
Right.
So it's just sort of. I just went from that to why not present a painting show that way, too. So
while running on a treadmill.
So, well, that kind of came later.
So for those of you that are having trouble keeping straight, he runs on a treadmill and paints at the same time, and then usually has an assistant or somebody help him make blended drinks at the same time. Now, here's my favorite thing about John's show. Bad at all three.
Yeah.
He's not good at painting. He's not good at making blended drinks. He's not good at the treadmill.
Second. Come on, man. I've gotten really good lately. I can actually, I'm sorry, I'm going to get an accreditation from the Cordon Bleu people on cooking. And
sure, yeah.
John, you sell your paintings.
I'm painting a classic Gold's Gym now, too, on this.
I doubt that very seriously. You sell your paintings on your website. Has anyone ever bought one?
Yeah. Yeah, no.
Seriously.
That's how I make a living. But I actually just recently sold the Tyra Banks painting I did. I was on her show, and I running on a treadmill.
She'll have anyone on.
I would love to have seen that.
What year? When were you on her show?
Like about 3 years ago.
Oh, my God.
Sorry, we missed it. All right, let me make sure I understand here, John. It's a very sad day that we can't watch you on the television anymore. No. What are you owing about?
I'm upset, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But my question is, you say you're doing the Let's Paint TV on the Internet every single day. Then do you post every single day? Do you post that episode up on YouTube? Because I see you have a whole bunch of them on YouTube.
Yeah, I'm trying. It's such a pain in the ass, but yeah.
That's the plan.
Not the whole show. Not the whole damn show. It's too much.
Okay.
Darn.
So what time do you do it so that we can watch it live on your website every day? What time?
11 a.m.
11 a.m.
Pacific Standard Time.
We're going to start doing that then.
And yeah, and it's 11 to 12:30. And then obviously you can come into that chat room there.
Wait. You do that for an hour and a half?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it's an endurance kind of thing, you know. Plus, I don't really like exercising, so it kind of gets me to exercise.
No, that's good. That's good. You don't like exercise.
Yeah.
Hey, how's the beautiful Inga, by the way? And do we see much of her on the YouTube videos?
You know, she's having trouble getting in and out of the country because she's always coming in from Sweden, so she's having issues. She's not able to get through that Homeland Security thing. So
now I know that that's funny and all, and that's the backstory. But I thought the actress who plays Inga is actually Mrs. Kilduff. Is that not the case, or is that just an urban legend?
Yeah, that's an urban legend.
Yeah, there's no way he could score her. I mean, really.
So, John, it's a done deal. There's nothing else we can do to try to keep your show on the TV. That's done. They've closed it down.
Well, I mean, we maybe some fundraisers or something. You know, we could like. Around town or something.
That's too bad.
Well, we're not really that interested. But I mean, we just were curious. We just wanted to know. So,
well, we can just complain. And
apparently, this all came down from the phone companies trying to get into TV, right? I think.
Yeah, something to do with the phone companies, and then they worked a deal up at the state capitol with the governor and the Nunez guy. He was the sort of putting the bill across, and he's probably getting paid by the phone company.
Oh,
I don't know. I don't know what the hell happened.
It's always big money squashing the little guy. Well, listen.
It actually happened like 2 years ago. The
law was passed.
The law was.
Yeah, 2 years ago, right.
Now it's in effect, right? Well, listen, John, we're out of time, but we did want to touch base with you and let you know we're still thinking about you. We still love the Let's Paint TV.
And I think about you guys all the time.
And I'm really glad that we know now that you're doing it on the Internet. And, of course, you can see portions of that after the fact on YouTube.
And I do it live, too.
Is there some archive where we can find when Psycho Mike and Omar visited you?
Oh, it's the Let's Paint.
Let him answer the question, Kevin. Let him answer the question. I'm sorry. Say it again, John.
It's the New Year.
I'm interested to know. I really want to hear. Let the man talk.
I'm sorry. I apologize.
the new year.
TV.com is the website. Our guest has been John Kilduff. John, happy new year. Thanks for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
On the way. Kevin, they're calling it the long goodbye. Everything the president does is the last of his administration. You know, he took his last trip on Air Force One the other day. He gave his last press conference yesterday. He's only got a few days left in office. Barack Obama inaugurated on Tuesday. We thought we'd catch up with George W. Bush for one of the final times on the Kevin and Bean Show ever and see what he's up to. Good morning, Mr. President.
Kevin and Bean, how you doing?
Very good. How are you?
Couldn't be better.
Really?
Feeling
how come
good. You feeling good
excited?
About my legacy.
Really?
About the administration. Feeling good about the country.
Are you? Well, I saw your press conference yesterday in front of the White House press corps, and they did ask you some of the questions about the last 8 years. And I got a couple of responses I wanted you to add to, if you wouldn't mind, Mr. President.
Sure.
You were talking about the highs and lows of the job. And I got to be honest, as you listen to this clip, tell me you won't people miss the dynamic speaking style of our president.
The job is so exciting and so profound that the disappointments will be clearly a minor irritant.
So, wow!
Absolutely.
More good than bad.
Stand by that.
I don't know what that meant.
Well, the job itself is so exciting.
Right. Right.
And profound.
Right. We heard that, but I don't understand what the words mean.
Well, the disappointments.
Uh huh.
Will be in comparison to the excitement.
Right.
And the disappointments will not be as much remembered as the exciting things were.
Yeah, I don't. What was the coolest thing you got to do as the head of the free world, Mr. Bush?
Declare war on people. Awesome.
Pretty fun, wasn't it?
Awesome.
It's funny. That could be the thing that most people disliked about you.
Really?
Yeah.
didn't quite get that.
Yeah. Here's a... Oh, what's... Oh, wow.
Oh, good morning!
You're going to have plenty of time for that when you wake up in Crawford on Wednesday morning, aren't you, Mr. President?
I'm going to go to bed and just pile a blow. It's going to be my bed.
Here you are...
Reefer as my covers.
Here you are yesterday kind of summing up the economic picture of your two-term administration.
In terms of the economy... Look, I inherited a recession. I'm ending on a recession.
So, mission accomplished, Mr. President?
So, status quo. Didn't do any worse.
Well,
kept an even keel.
Some people
kept it right across, flat line, right across the board there.
Some people could suggest this is a worse recession than the one you took over.
Yeah.
Some people could say that.
I'm just saying, it's possible.
But then I would say, nuh-uh.
Okay.
Miss
that kind of debating skill. And the final clip I have from yesterday's press conference is you're talking about your critics that occasionally you come across out there in America on your travels.
Most people I see, when I'm moving around the country, for example, they're not angry.
No.
And they're not hostile people.
They're not.
And they, say, well, you never meet people who disagree. This is not true. I've met a lot of people who don't agree with the decisions I make. All that kind of stuff is just a very few people in the country. I don't know why they get angry. I don't know why they get hostile.
What do you think that's all about, Mr. President?
What is people's problems? What is your problem, people?
But what
are you angry about?
But you just said they weren't angry.
Well,
and then how do you turn around and say you don't know why they're angry?
Most people I meet moving around in America aren't angry.
Okay, but some are.
But some are angry. And I'm take a chill pill. That's what I want to say to them.
Do you ever say that?
Slow your roll, critics. What are you so angry about? What's so bad about me and what I do?
You kind of are you're an obvious target. A lot of people, fairly or unfairly, blame the president when things go wrong in the country. Some
exactly.
stuff is in your control. Some isn't. Though.
Right.
I understand
exactly.
that. I understand
Most of it
saying,
isn't.
Yeah.
Most is
right.
not in my control. I barely have any influence at all.
I'm just
a tiny, 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 tiny bit.
I don't think that's true either. What kind of advice are you giving Mr. Obama? I know you've met with him a couple of times there at the White House. He's going to have the weight of the world on his shoulders on Tuesday. What are you telling him about that?
Stay away from bombing countries that start with I. People get really pissed off.
That's
Move on
that.
In the alphabet.
That's your only advice?
Go to M.
like Mongolia or something. But I found out eyes are not popular.
Okay,
I'm talking about I.
Are you sure it's what the country starts with, the letter? I mean, are you sure that's what they're
what
upset
I
about?
I found yeah. my research.
Okay,
my intelligence says it.
All right, last question, Mr. President, because I don't know if we'll ever have the chance to talk to you again. What are you and Laura looking forward to most in retirement starting next week?
Just humping.
Okay.
Wow. All right.
Humping. Just like, just two crack jackrabbits on crack. Crack rabbits, I call them. Two crack rabbits on jack.
Okay.
Well, fresh air.
Sounds like fun.
Thank you, Mr. President.
Oh, that's good.
Is it time for Ask a Stripper? Can we bring her in?
Nope.
No, not
Where's
yet.
Austin? Where's the stripper pole? What happened to the stripper pole?
Half hour from now, dude. Take it easy.
I can't wait. All right, it's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock for a Tuesday morning. Should we do the big intro? Do we have our guest?
No, not technically.
Okay, I think our guest is coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday morning, it's K-Rock time to talk about all things Scrubs.
I can't do this all on my own. No, Superman.
Two big episodes tonight at 9 and 9:30 on the ABC.
I'm no Superman.
So the good news is your show's coming back. You're rescued from cancellation on NBC. You're on ABC. Congratulations. That's the good news. The bad news is, hey, welcome to being up against American Idol. Congratulations.
Yeah, good times.
Good morning.
Hey, Sarah.
Hey.
How are you?
What's up?
It's Kevin and Bean. We're on the air.
I'm so excited to be on with you guys. I love you guys.
Not as excited as we are. Hey, what about what about that being up against American Idol? That show sucks and no one should watch it, right?
Oh, my God. I mean, come on. Who watches that show anyways?
Really,
oh,
no 80 one.
80 million? 60 million? 70 million?
Well, that's because it hasn't had the juggernaut of Scrubs on ABC to worry about. I think it's going to be different this season, you know?
That juggernaut. That your pipe and smoke it, American Idol.
Well, listen, Sarah Chalk, of course, who plays the beautiful Dr. Elliot Reed on the Scrubs show. We talked to your friend Zach Braff last week, and we got a little bit of the deep background on how crazy this has been for you and your fellow cast members to think you're canceled and, hey, I got to look for work. And then the phone rings and boom, you're back on the air. It has to be so weird.
Yeah, it was so weird. I mean, during the whole strike, which was like 4.5 months long, we thought, okay, maybe this is it and we won't even get to end the show properly and it'll just end on like a random episode and there'll be no finale. And then we got to come back and finish the year and then do an eighth. We were like, just felt ridiculously lucky.
Did you find out, you know, we talked to a lot of people who seemed like they found out whether it was on the internet or it was on the news or something. They didn't actually get a call first. How does that work?
Actually, Bill Lawrence, who created the show, he brought us all in and we had a big meeting and he told us and everyone was very excited.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Now, tell me about this. We haven't had the opportunity to visit, but we understand that this hospital that you guys use, this creepy abandoned hospital that now I understand is asbestos-filled, by the way, what's that like working there? Is it weird?
Well, we always joke that it was asbestos-filled. And then in the eighth year that we're there, we find this little plaque that says, like, P.S., this place is full of asbestos.
Yeah.
That was good.
For real, yeah.
Oh, man.
Was it at one point a real hospital, though?
Yeah, it was. Like, the first year we were filming there, people thought it was. Like, this guy came with, like, bleeding from his head, and he came for help, and we're all standing there dressed as doctors going, like, this isn't a hospital, and there's extras walking around as patients, and he probably thought he was in much, you know, more serious shape than he was, but we're telling him this.
He probably left and went, man, those people are really rude at that hospital.
Totally.
I'll never go there again.
So, two episodes tonight of Scrubs. Courtney Cox continues as the new head of medicine on the first episode tonight?
She does. She's hysterical. She continues as the chief. And then I think you find out what happens with J.D. and Elliot in the next one.
Oh. I heard some rumors about that.
And then we go to the Bahamas in a couple weeks in one of the episodes. Did Zach tell you about that?
No. No. That sounds like fun.
My favorite week of Scrubs of all time. The janitor gets married and invites everyone at the last second thinking no one will come because he just wants lots of presents. And then we all go. And it was just sort of an excuse for, you know, our 100 crew members we've worked with for 8 years and all of us to just go to the Bahamas and play for a week. It was pretty fantastic.
Oh, my God. That's awesome. Now, one of the things we love about Scrubs, we've talked about this many times because we really are all sincerely big fans of the show. One of the things we love is how out there it can be, how surreal it can be. One minute it can be a musical. The next minute it can be fantasy, sci-fi. I mean, you guys do it all. You dress up in funny costumes. Is there anything that sticks out in your mind over 8 seasons now that's like the craziest thing that you stood there and you said to yourself, I can't believe this is what I do for a living?
putting on bedpans on each feet and having a race with Turk around hospitals.
Oh, sure. Yeah. I wish real hospitals were like that. That'd be awesome.
Totally. It would make you feel really good right before your open heart surgery if you saw two doctors running by with bedpans on their feet. That's what, I mean, made the job so ridiculously fun is, you know, you'll go to work and you'll have a scene where you're like losing a patient, and then you'll do a pratfall over a medical cart, and then Bill will say, okay, instead of saying, I told you so here, just make up an I told you so song and dance, and then you're doing a burlesque dance like in another scene. Like, it just really never got boring. It was always fun.
How much of the show is directly from the script, and how much do they tell you just go crazy?
The writers are so fantastic, you know, so it's always exactly as it is on the page once, and then you can do other takes and have fun with it and play around. It was a really, you know, Bill made sure that it was a really collaborative, creative environment and said, you know, try whatever you want. And
one of the things that is also, I think, a little bit different, and your show manages to do both so well, is that it can go from the zany, wacky, unbelievable comedy and almost turn on a dime and be something that's really kind of heartfelt and emotionally, whether it has something to do with the people and their relationships, or because you're in a hospital, all of a sudden you got to, like last week's episode about the dying guy. I mean, that has got to be such a tough balance. So I don't know how you're able to do that so well.
Yeah, it's really the writers, you know, they walk that fine line between, you know, sending you down one road and then you're, you know, doing some crazy flashback in a weird costume, and then, and it was, you know, my favorite thing about the pilot when I read it, you know, is that you really got to do both.
The guy that plays Dr. Kelso, by the way, Ken Jenkins, is so great.
He's my favorite. Oh, my God. That was when, you know, when I started crying on our last day of filming of our 8th year, it was when they were like, you know, there's a, you know, season or series, depending on what happens, wrap on Ken Jenkins. And I was like, what if I ever do another scene with Ken Jenkins? He's just the nicest man. He could not be more opposite from his character. He is so kind and just we all were, you know, really lucky to work with him.
How far into this season 8 do you think it'll be before you get some kind of real indication as to whether Scrubs will continue for number 9, Sarah?
I don't know. I mean, what I've heard is that they have to, you know, watch and see how the first at least month goes.
Okay. So. Okay. All right. Well, we're doing our part. Like I said, we had Zach on last week.
We're so
happy to have you on again. And we're telling you that American Idol sucks. And we're telling you that the only place you ought to be tonight at 9 o'clock is on the ABC watching the first of two great new episodes of Scrubs.
At least the first few mean episodes of Idol, right? Like, jump in like later when they're like all singing.
So you want people to watch you for a couple of weeks and then abandon you?
Yeah, because they need that first month.
I think we're only up against them for the first few weeks, as far as I know.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh, good. Good times.
Yeah. I
got you. All right, Sarah. Hey, thanks for coming on, and thanks for the kind words, too. We enjoyed talking to you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Your chance to ask a stripper coming up after the news at 8. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, or as we call him, the Speed Bump, is here with the Showbiz Beat for a Tuesday morning. What's going on?
Everybody wants a little piece of Obama. All the celebs now want to hitch their wagons to his star now that he's going to be the president of the United States.
Sure. Mm.
And the inauguration's coming up. And apparently, D.C. is just expecting huge crowds of celebrities to descend upon its city.
That's a week from today, right? Next Tuesday?
Yep. All kinds of events happening. The Creative Coalition is having its own inaugural ball.
The Creative Coalition?
I don't know who they are, but there's a lot of celebrities belong to it.
Okay.
Round here pretty soon now.
Couple years.
Here's a partial list of who will be attending. Tim Daly, Anne Hathaway, Ron Howard, Spike Lee, Susan Sarandon, Dana Delaney, Barry Levinson, Matthew Modine, Marcia Cross, Maura Tierney, Rachel Lee Cook, Adrian Grenier, Tom Cavanaugh, Bradley Cooper, Ashley Judd, Blair Underwood, Maggie Gyllenhaal, Peter Sarsgaard.
Wow.
Giancarlo Esposito, Kim Raver, Lawrence O'Donnell, Jane Krakowski. List goes on and on and on. Elvis, Costello, Sting.
A better lineup than they got at the People's Choice Awards this year, I'll tell you that.
Elvis, Costello, Sting, and others will also be playing at the event.
It's going to be quite the party.
Then Rihanna's going to have her own charity ball. She'll be hosting with celebrities attending. Will Smith and Jada Pinkett will be attending the actual inauguration. They got invites to the real deal.
Sure.
Oprah Winfrey, of course, will be hosting an event at the Kennedy Center with all her celebrity pals.
Think she'll be holding onto his leg as he walks up to take the oath?
Dragging her along.
And also that night, the Hip Hop Summit Action Network.
Oh, sure.
We'll be having a ball featuring Russell Simmons, T.I., Young Jeezy, LL Cool J, Jay-Z, and others. So, a lot of celebs.
This could be the first inauguration in presidential history where the black people get to the top of the list. They get to all the first invites.
The American Music Inaugural Ball is also being held. Chaka Khan.
What?
George Clinton.
Chaka Khan?
The Temptations.
Chaka Khan? Wait, did you say Chaka Khan?
I did.
Still alive?
She'll be hosting. Huh. So lots of events. However, interesting story. Apparently, two people were trying to weasel their way into the reflected glory of the president-elect are Jennifer Lopez and Mark Anthony.
Okay.
They are desperate to be invited to the inauguration. And apparently they are going to be at the Latino Inaugural Ball. Another one that's being held in D.C. But some political Latinos are furious because they are saying the pair did nothing to support Obama during his campaign.
Ooh.
One insider from Latinos for Obama calls them vile opportunists who had nothing to do with his win. They didn't donate a dime to the cause.
Mm.
But apparently they want to be where the in-crowd's going to be. So.
Interesting. I'm sure there's a lot of people like that.
Oh, sure, if you possibly can.
You got to be seen at this place.
They said, forget the Oscars this year, all the other tickets. This is the hottest ticket in show business, is to be involved somehow with this event.
With all those parties that you mentioned, though, Ralph, I'm a little bit surprised that there's any room for Lopez and Anthony, to be honest, to even show up in Washington as crowded as
you think it'd be so crowded with celebrities that there wouldn't be any room for them at all to even to attend any of the parties, let alone the actual inauguration.
He wasn't going to go there. Why do you have to?
Well, here's the thing, B. Here's the thing I've found following, you know, showbiz for years now.
What's that?
That in a lot of cases, you'd be right. There's a lot of celebrities, you know, who wouldn't have the time or the energy to find space for themselves in that situation. But for some reason, it seems whenever Jennifer Lopez is involved, regardless of the situation,
right?
Yes.
Regardless of the limitations put upon space or time regarding the event.
Got it.
Say it.
There's always room for J-Lo.
Yay! I'm giving you a zero for the day.
Oh, come on. Oh,
I thought it felt good.
For the whole day?
You stupid, ignorant son of a bitch, dumb bastard!
And here's a nice story. Word is coming from Heath Ledger's family that his 3-year-old daughter Matilda will be awarded with his Golden Globe Award that he won the other night.
She wasn't even in the movie.
I don't think that's why they're giving it to her.
Silly rabbit. Apparently, the family has decided at this stage, according to People Magazine, this is their quote, at this stage, she is so young. But down the track, she will have all these things. It will belong to her because she is part of him. So when she looks back on her dad, that she never had a chance to really know, she will have some of his achievements with her, which is kind of sweet. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julie Louis-Dreyfus is 48 years old today. Patrick Dempsey is 43, of course, from Grey's Anatomy. Did your Melissa George is leaving the show?
No.
The hot, smoking hot blonde lesbian.
I didn't know she was on it.
I didn't know she was on it either, actually.
I don't watch it either. But
oh, okay.
I
just know it's big news.
Remember her from Alias?
Yeah.
Yes. Love her.
Which one was she?
She was Michael Bartan's wife.
Rabbit yes. Mouse.
After Elizabeth, Sydney disappeared. Remember, he came back and she was married. She tried to be a double agent.
Oh, yeah.
For SD6 or CIL or JB5 or whatever that group was.
She's way hot.
Yeah. She's leaving the
show. She's leaving already?
Yeah.
Aw.
She's only been on like 3
8
episodes.
She's signed for 8. I don't know if they've all aired or not.
Yeah, she's only been on like 3.
She'll be done after that. Huh. Tracy Bingham and Nicole Eggert from Baywatch are 41 and 37 respectively. And Orlando Bloom turns 32. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Now?
Yes, now.
Take it easy, dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, ask a stripper on the Kevin Abid Show here on the world famous K-Rock. Hey, Austin, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Thanks for coming in. I thought I recognized you.
Oh, really? I remember you.
Ever since Gustavo Arellano came into the studio with Ask a Mexican, we stole the idea from him.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done a bunch of Ask-as.
And I would say we've improved on the idea, especially today, by the way. Now, Austin, let's get your stripper credentials here, first of all. How do you strip anymore, or are you out of the business?
I am retired, actually.
What?
You know, I committed to a year, and I got real naked for a year, and then I had to, you know, get out of the biz.
Why? Love it?
Why did you, in the beginning, say 1 year, and then I'm done?
Because the money can be so enticing. Yeah. And, you know, it's such an easy life. I think I was taking 18 units in school, and I was able to work like once a week.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, you've just given me all the reasons why you should still be doing it. Why walk away from that? If you've got it, shake it, girl.
Well, actually, at one of the strip clubs I worked at, I met a guy who works at a medical marijuana pharmacy, and he gave me a job.
Bastard.
I know. He wanted me to get naked for him, but I was like, no way.
All right, so you only stripped for a year. What are your what are your thoughts when you hear me say that? What comes to mind about your time dancing the pole?
Oh my God, it was awesome. I loved it. I mean, the lap dances, you know, that was a whole different ball game. You had to definitely hustle, but being on stage was amazing. I loved getting naked and to just like good music that you really like could feel it.
Sure doesn't sound like a girl who retired, does it?
No, it doesn't.
I would love to get naked again, but just on stage, you know, just dance on the pole.
So it's the lap dances that bothered you?
Yeah, I mean, it was whatever, but yeah.
I mean, you just didn't enjoy the contact with the customers. Aren't there places in L.A. you can go where you can't, the contact would be illegal. You can get exactly what you want, which is to dance from a distance.
Yeah, there are places. Usually those places are full nude, and then your is all up over them. And they could just, like, reach out and grab you real quick, and that's so scary.
Oh, that's creepy.
That doesn't sound good. Were you full nude in the club you were working at?
On stage, I got totally naked. Right. But then for the lap dances, we were in bikini.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's bogus.
Or a thong.
What was it? Tell me a little bit about you before you took off your clothes for the first time on stage. Were you a pretty person, pretty comfortable with the naked body? Were you a little bit of an exhibitionist, or was it kind of difficult for you to do the first time around?
Oh, I've always been okay with my body, but I grew up in a small town, and it was a whole different ball game for me. But I went with a friend, and she was, we got really medicated beforehand.
Well, all right.
And she was like, just go for it.
You gotta do what you gotta do.
Exactly. It's so fun, though.
Are most strippers dead on the inside, as we suspect?
Oh my goodness. No. Well, oh gosh.
Think of the girls that have been doing it a while.
Yeah, I mean, there's some real...
Shut up, Lisa. Don't push us in any direction.
I'm just
saying shut up.
Helping her.
No, I mean, there's definitely like different brands of stripper. You know, there's like the old school stripper who's been there and she's like... You know, 30-something and washed out. And there's, you know, the little crackhead girls. And I don't know, but there's some cool girls that really are paying their way through school, the old cliche.
How many of the other girls at the club did you know?
Oh, none of them. None. I didn't talk to any of them. Oh,
really?
No.
Really?
And you always said, people would always ask me, I'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, I hate those strippers. Oh, shoot, I am one.
Did they say the same thing about you, do you guess? Or
I would guess because my roommate and I always kind of swooped in and would take everyone's customers and take all the money. And, like, we would bounce around from club to club just to kind of make the best of it and make the most money. So we'd come to new clubs and girls would really hate us.
Yeah. We've heard that in the past that for a lot of strippers, that's the worst thing about the job is having to deal with the other girls because it's just so catty. Now, we are going to take calls from the listeners. If you have a question you've always wanted to ask a stripper beyond will you go home with me, which is the one you've already tried, 1-800-520-1067 is the number. What if you could put a number on it for me, Austin? What percentage of girls who are dancing naked enjoy the work versus the ones who are just doing it because they know it's a good way to make money?
Oh my God, it's so hard to say because we all look like we enjoy it up there. And like I said, I never talked to them. But I loved it. My roommate loved it. And I mean, it seemed cool. There weren't too many girls who were like hating their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
We also hear
that's what we like to think as well.
A lot of them are lesbians.
Oh, there was a lot of bi girls. Yeah. And they would try to get down with my roommate and I. Yeah.
And how many times did that happen?
Oh, never.
Well,
never.
Come on.
Well, maybe my roommate and I, but...
You've just made them so happy.
Picture that for a minute. Is there much temptation when you get into that world? I mean, the line is pretty blurry, and everybody's line is at a different point. But once you're dancing naked, would you go the next step and pose for naked photos? Would you go the next step and make a video? Would you go the next step and do something on the internet? I mean, do you ever think about the other revenue streams that are available to you?
Of course. And you get a lot of offers, too. So it's kind of hard. But, you know, what I always think about is my family. They would never want to see that, you know?
Yeah.
My mom, she'd be so
sad. I can't do that.
Does your mom know that you were dancing?
I told her after I quit. Yeah.
And what'd she say then?
She said, you should have told me you needed money. I said, I didn't really need it. I just wanted it.
Atta girl.
Nice.
I like that.
Nice. Mike is so deeply in love right now.
You have no idea.
I'm in love with him, too.
Oh, let's not push it. All right. We're going to take your calls 1-800-520-1067. It's Ask a Stripper, and we'll take a quick break and come right back on K-Rock.
We're going to ask a stripper. She's hot and she loves to take off clothes. Do you like flaming hot Cheetos? We're going to ask a stripper. Are there guys that you think are really icky? How about when they're all wet and stinky?
Oh.
Ask a stripper. From Kevin. When I sang this song, can we see them? I think I'm in love with you. We're gonna ask a stripper.
Wow. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. Excellent work, Omar, as usual. Today is Ask a Stripper at 1-800-520-1067. The lovely Austin is in our studio, recently retired after a year dancing. We got some great questions on the line. Let's start with, why don't we start with Mike in Ontario? He's on line six. You can count on the 909ers to make it gross right out of the gate.
Mike, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good, thank you.
I had a question. Is it true that while the stripper fees, the performing lap dance, they get a little extra. They can get a little extra on the side.
Yeah, what about that? What about the deals that are negotiated personally with the stripper that maybe aren't on the official club menu but can be worked out?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's definitely, it definitely happens. You know, you'll be in the VIP room giving a little lap dance, mm-hmm. and you'll pop over your booth when you're kind of standing up and shaking it, and you'll see some stuff going on. It's definitely specific girls. You always know who the girls are that do it.
Do the clubs, they know that's going on but look the other way? Or is it something that you kind of have to do without them finding out? Or how does that usually work?
Oh, it totally depends on the clubs. Some clubs are pretty serious about it because they've been, like, busted for it before.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But some clubs just, they love it. They make money, yeah.
Oh, so they turn a blind eye out.
Exactly.
And they're happy to.
Yeah, it's all about the money.
The girls don't get insulted if you're a customer and you don't know what is being offered off the menu, if you bring it up or ask, they would understand where that was coming from, right?
But wait, strippers understand when customers ask for stuff?
Yeah, when customers ask, they don't get insulted or something, right?
Okay. No, that's crazy. I'm here to dance for you, look good for you. Go
that's
home
it?
And have your wife do the rest.
Yeah, she won't. I mean, I don't know what you're talking about.
Let's go to Betty in Whittier. Good morning, Betty.
Hi, good morning.
Hi there.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Betty.
Okay, I have a question. Austin, you said that you would rather be dancing on stage as opposed to the lap dances, correct?
Yeah.
Now, would it be different if it was for another girl or for, like, couples that go in?
Oh, my gosh. I always felt so clueless dancing for girls because I would, like, you know, kind of, like, rub my booty up on them, and then there's nothing going on. Like, I don't know how to entice the ladies, but it was no big deal either way. I mean, it was kind of the same thing.
Now, if couples go in together, do you find it less, like, creepy?
Or is that more strange?
It's the same, you know. Yeah. I'm down for the people that are there to enjoy themselves. Like, that's fun for me. And couples are always there just to kind of have a good time. Although I've had offers from couples before to go home with
Come
them.
Come home.
Yeah, that work out? Sure.
Never.
Oh, never? Oh, all right.
All right, here's a great question. Nick is on the line from Compton. He's on line four. Wants to talk about strippers in relationships. Hi, Nick. You're on with Austin. Go ahead. Ask a stripper.
What's up, Kevin Bean? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Nick.
Austin.
Hi.
Well, my question is this. Do you have a boyfriend, and does that ever conflict with your relationship, you being a stripper or used to being a stripper?
Yeah, no, I do have a boyfriend, and... you know, it wasn't his favorite thing, but he understood why I was in the business. And
so he was your boyfriend during?
I met him while I was stripping. It's one of the first things I told him, and he was like, well, I love you. I think you're sexy. Let's go for it.
That's another good question, is you kind of have to bring it up?
Oh, definitely.
Early?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you think it's going to be, like, something lasting. But otherwise, you just kind of hide it.
If you didn't have an end date to it, how would he have reacted? If you're like, yeah, I may be doing this for the next 5 years.
Yeah, I don't think he'd be okay with it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he would never tell me to quit, like, make me do something. That's mm-hmm. not how we work. But
But still, I mean, I don't think he'd be okay with it. I think it was just the fact there was an endpoint.
Yeah.
There are a lot of guys who would not be comfortable with that, perhaps because of their own security problems, but also just because they don't like to share, right?
Oh, I mean, those aren't my kind of guys. Come on now. Too controlling. I'm a crazy woman.
Let's go to Ella in Buena Park. We're going to ask a stripper. Hi, Ella.
Hi, Kevin Bean, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning. Well, I'm a virgin, and I was wondering if there are other virgins in the industry or if that's even a possibility, because I've thought about dancing.
Virgin strippers?
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't have to do anything to be a stripper, so you could definitely get into it if you wanted. You'd have to be prepared for probably a lot of, like, sexualized activity that you're not used to, but I remember meeting a virgin and she was real cute.
I was going to ask if you came across any actually in the club that were already doing it.
There was one, but I don't know if I believed her. I think she might have just been playing the part, you know.
It's got to be really rare.
Right.
Ella, tell me about you. Why are you even thinking about it?
Well, because I love dancing. I love being naked. I just don't want to.
Yeah.
We love that as well.
So I wouldn't even have to worry about getting into that part of the industry where, you know, it gets a little shady.
Right. Why are you, how old are you, Ella?
I'm 19.
Well, and you should do it. What are you hanging on to your virginity for?
Marriage, because it's just religion, but.
But religion doesn't keep you from stripping?
No.
That's a hell of a religion
awesome.
Right there.
I want that one.
I don't know what you believe in, but I'm with you. I'm going to sign up for it, too. That's awesome. Thank you for the call. All right. We got a lot of great calls, but we're going to have to take a break. Do you mind, Austin? Could you stick around for one more?
Oh, I love it. I'll be here.
Okay.
All right. 1-800-520.
We have a chance to ask a stripper. We're going to ask a goddamn stripper. That's what we're going to ask a stripper.
We're going to ask a stripper. Let me ask you a question about being a stripper. Can I see your boobs?
1-800-520-1067 is the telephone number. Austin is our guest. We are asking a stripper. Before we go back to the phones, Lisa May, you had an email from one of the guys listening right now. I had a question for Austin.
Yes, I do. This is an email from a guy listener who said, I received an email from a friend in Vegas who is a stripper at the Sapphire. She needs help with the rent. My question is, how true is that? And if I decide to help her, should I tap her first?
My only answer is that if it is true, you should not tap that. Because if she needs money, she's not worth hitting.
Yeah. Why do you think she would need money?
She doesn't.
I don't think she needs it. I think she's just being greedy about drugs or anything.
Okay. How much money?
Drugs.
You never went to Vegas?
No, I didn't go. Too much commitment.
Really? What do you mean?
Too much commitment.
You have
to get
to
the airport on time?
Right? Oh my God, we were never on time to work. Well, yeah, you have to buy like a Nevada stripper license. You have to like spend $250 and get a license.
Who knew?
Get naked.
Oh, really? I see.
Yeah, it's
they
crazy.
Sell licenses? That's a racket.
Just for Nevada,
just for Vegas.
Vegas and stuff. Yeah, because it's such
Is
a
that
business.
To discourage people from coming there? What do you think that's
I don't
about?
Know.
It's so the
I
state
it's
can
just,
make money off of it.
Exactly,
because
Vegas just loves to tax all the good stuff.
Yeah. Austin, how much conversation do you have with guys that you're dancing for?
Well, with the customers, I have, you know, 3 to 5 really good customers at any given time. Mm-hmm. And
you mean regulars that came in?
Yeah,
what?
Regulars.
Once a week?
Once or twice a week.
Do you kind of get to know them? I mean, do they kind of tell you what's going on in their lives and
totally.
Stuff like that?
Totally. People confide. I had one guy who, like, fell in love with me, offered me, like, hundreds of thousands of dollars to come live with him, offered me a house, offered me this, and then the last time I saw him, he cried when he left. It was so creepy.
Do you see guys also, I have a friend who started making some really good money and started spending every day in the strip clubs and essentially Ooh. Spent all his money there and ended up broke. Yeah. Do you see that too?
Definitely. That's my goal.
Yeah, sure.
Get hooked.
Oh, God.
All right, let's go to Mikey in West Covina. Good morning, Mikey.
Hey, how's it going, Kevin and Bean? Good morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
My question for you, Austin, is are you ever attracted to your customers and pursue them instead of them going for you?
Not really.
Is it because they're in a strip club to begin with?
Probably. There was definitely a shortage of, like, hotties coming through the strip club. But when there were, it was just, like, all business anyway. And
Now, hold on a second here, Austin. I have two follow-up questions. Mikey, that's an excellent question. First of all, Kevin tells me that the strippers really do love him.
Well,
so
they do.
Clearly, you're not speaking for all dancers, right?
Well, Kevin is an exception to the rule. We do love him.
And number two is, I'm interested in your answer to Lisa's question about are you kind of not interested in them because they're in a strip club? I mean, isn't that a little bit of a double standard that it's okay for you to work in one, but it's not okay for a guy to go in one?
Oh,
somehow,
no,
it's a
honey,
poor
they're
reflection.
Suckers. They're all suckers. Okay. I'm a hustler.
<All right. laughs> You're a hustler?
That's what I'm saying.
All right. How about Juan in Los Angeles? He's on line 4 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Juan, thanks for calling in. Ask a stripper. Go ahead.
Hi, Kevin and Bean. Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
I was just wondering if Austin ever had a dance for any of her boyfriend's friends, and if that was awkward.
Boyfriend's friends. Oh, you mean like the boyfriend's friends came into the strip club?
Yeah, like her boyfriend's friends came to the strip club and got a lap dance and then...
Or friends of yours, just people that you know. Does that ever happen?
None of my boyfriend's friends. I definitely wouldn't dance with them. I'd say peace. I'd just walk away. But, I've had a couple friends come in, and it's more fun to, like, hang out with your friends in the club. I've never danced for any of them.
Relatives?
But I have no relatives. I have danced for friends outside of the club, though, just for fun.
How many times?
Actually, at my new job, I dance with people a lot. Yeah, well, we have surveillance at my new job, so
I should. Can we get those tapes?
Definitely. I'll send them over. We're going to ask a
stripper. Here's a great question. Let's go to line 7. Tony calling from Tustin on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Tony, you're on with Austin. Go ahead.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, what's up?
Be careful how you ask this.
Yeah. Have you had any customers, while you were giving them a lap dance, get a little too excited, if you know what I mean?
Oh, it happens.
Really? How often?
That's it done. I don't know. It's gross. It happens a lot.
A lot?
Well,
why do you think these guys are in strip clubs?
Right?
They're not getting attention.
Exactly.
Kevin.
They're like 12-year-old boys. They can't help it.
What do? Do you just back off? Do you kind of end the dance if you can see that it's where it's headed?
Well, I guess it depends on what we're talking about. A little too excited, you know, I don't know. That's okay, I guess. But then if it goes all the way, then you're like, easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a football player with a gun in your club? Has that ever happened?
Club. No, I wish. Professional football players, you could really hustle them.
Do most guys come in with sweatpants?
Ew, a lot of them do, and they're warm-up pants.
By the way, Psycho Mike did that.
Yeah, I was 16, though, so, I mean, cut me some slack.
Let's talk to Andrew in Paramount on line 1. The greatest day in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show. We're asking a stripper. Hi, Andrew, you're on with Austin.
We're gonna ask a stripper.
Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hey, Andrew.
Yeah, hey, Lisa May. I want to know how often guys try and offer you money in exchange for sex.
Oh, a lot, actually.
Yeah.
And of course, that's 100% illegal and unacceptable.
Of course. Yeah,
no,
I would never.
Totally, yes. Yes, thank you.
Why, Andrew? How many times have you offered?
You know what? I've never been. My friends try and talk me into it, but, man, that's just, it seems dumb, you know.
So
I'd rather spend my money on other things.
Well,
oh,
then you're
I don't
bad
know.
And,
you haven't
and
seen
wrong.
Me.
Like models and comics?
Sure.
Yeah.
you said earlier that your response is, no, I'm here to dance for you. So you're a buzzkill, Austin, basically, is what it is.
Oh,
right?
I'm
you're shattering dreams.
Come on now.
Now, we were talking to Austin off the air about her plans for the future, and she's interested in getting into politics. And whether it's politics or whatever, do you ever worry that there'll be a time where somehow having the stripper background is going to hurt you?
Oh,
with your credibility?
Yeah, no, definitely. I mean, I take my future really seriously, and I want to get into campaign management and politics, and it's scary to think about what could come up in the future, but hopefully we're getting more lenient.
Right.
I mean, I remember when Diablo Cody, a former stripper from Minnesota, ended up winning the Oscar for writing the screenplay for Juno, there were even people snickering, like, what the hell is she doing in Hollywood as a former stripper? And that's in the entertainment industry. Outside of that, when you start getting into real work, like if you want to go into law or politics or something like that, I would imagine that there are people who just can't ever see past what you once did.
I really think I'm the least corrupt of the bunch in politics. I mean, everyone has skeletons in their closet, if you will, and I don't know. I'll be upfront about what I've done, and that really the work I want to do is I want to represent other people. So, I don't know.
By stripping?
Is that
I'm
what you're saying?
Weed, yeah.
let's close right now.
That's right.
Let's close with one more call because I'm sure a lot of people want to know what Brian wants to know from Newport Beach. He's on line three. Final question for Austin. Go ahead, ask a stripper.
We're gonna ask a stripper.
Hi, go ahead, Brian.
Hey. I was just wondering, in your year of stripping, what was the most amount of money that you made in one night?
Oh, great question.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, people always ask me that. Probably like
$1,500.
Wow. Yeah, maybe $13, something around there.
And might I add, ching.
That's good bucks, man, right there.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
It was great.
Aren't there girls who are hooking for less than that?
Oh, definitely.
Well, that seems bad.
Yeah, well, that's too bad for them.
They need better representation. Should hire you. Wow. What was the average? If 1500 was the high, what was average?
5 to 8. But then there were bad nights where you'd make $3, and that, you know. I know.
You're walking out of there with only $300 for a few hours' work? That is rough.
After a couple of hours?
Austin, please go back to stripping. It's ridiculous. You sound like you were good at it. You enjoyed it. Please go back to it.
I'll do it for you.
We're going to ask a stripper.
Thank you for coming in, Austin. We appreciate it.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. I miss Austin.
Yep.
those are good times back when she was on the show during Ask a Stripper, weren't they?
The only thing creepier than watching guys in a strip club sit around like a stage staring at some poor young girl like Austin is hearing you guys talk to her. That was painful.
We had questions.
The callers were great. You guys were just creepalicious.
All right. How dare you. That's creepy.
How dare you?
But how can you judge him, Austin, when you're working in a strip club and he comes in?
That's a legitimate question, by the way. That's a legitimate question.
I want a stripper to love me.
I believe she did love me.
Just stop it.
8:55.
Beats a guy who does not have a lot of strip club experience either, though.
I mean, I don't have a lot of girl experience.
As far as we know.
No.
I think he's in with like a trench coat, and I think he lingers back in the alley backstage where the girls take their breaks when they're out for a smoke, you know, and he's behind a dumpster somewhere.
Hey, light.
I think Dean has a whole nother horribly sordid life that we have no exposure
to
whatsoever.
That would be the best. Wouldn't that involve me leaving the house at night? And you know that doesn't happen,
yeah,
Ralph. Come
on. We don't know that doesn't happen. We know from what you've told us,
we know
that
the story
doesn't happen.
We know the legend.
This is all just a well-crafted scenario to throw us off the scent of the real life that you lead, which is just
lead a double life
filled with just tragic debauchery.
Kevin is a secret agent for the CIA. That's his secret life, and I guess you're suggesting that I have one as well.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
One's more likely than the other. I will let the home listener be the judge.
Final look at the showbiz beat with Ralph Graham.
We're starting to get some details about the end of Lost.
Oh,
from a very reliable source.
Is that still on?
Mr. Matthew Fox. It'll be back this year.
Coming back next week.
Yeah, next week. Dude, they're moving the island.
I don't know that I have what it takes to...
I just got back on and now you're going to get off?
I don't know that I have what it takes to keep that straight. Look at me.
Yeah, but this past season was great.
Awesome.
It was great.
They really bounced back strong this past year.
Not as great as if you haven't got a clue what's going on, though.
Well,
think
you know
from
what?
Kevin's
do a little due diligence. Do a little due diligence and catch yourself up and do what you need to do. Be a responsible viewer.
She's angry at Lost. Like she, yeah, I've never seen her.
See, she's seething a little bit.
I told her to stop, to drop Brothers and Sisters, to drop Men and Trees,
no,
and make a little time.
I will not.
Day.
I
am.
But if Sun and
Moon,
no,
oh.
If Sun and Kate were to plan their weddings on the same day and promise to be each other's bridesmaids and then fight over where on the island they were going to have it.
I might have to watch that.
In the carpool lane.
Then she'd be
and they had brothers and sisters in a forest. Then Lisa would be all over
it. Oh my God,
that's
the perfect show.
But I am too far in to not care about what happens. That's my problem.
I am fully
too far
back
in.
I am fully dedicated again. Because you know me, I was a fallen away Catholic there
and
for
I
a while in the religion
of love.
And I was
with it while you were gone.
I know.
But then now last
that
season
shaky, and then they came back
me
so strong. Oh. They completely hooked me in and I'm back in again.
I'm bad timing guy then.
You are a bad timing guy. So I'm looking forward to it. Anyway, Matthew Fox did an interview in Details magazine in the February issue, now on stands, about the end of Lost. You know, they've already locked in. It's going away in 2010. The show will come to an end. All our answers will be provided.
Two more seasons. Do you really think all our answers will be provided?
Absolutely. I think
you
they
do.
Will. I think they will. They'll tie it all up.
I think they'll end it with a question, and you'll all come in angry, red-faced the next day.
The producers, that we had them on the phone, and they told Ralph, I think, over the phone, that there's 100% a clear-cut.
They know where they're going.
They know where they're going.
Yeah. Well, the show's conclusion, Matthew, when asked, said, look, the show started with a plane crash on an island in the South Pacific, and it's going to have a very global and epic ending. Global and epic.
Well, what does that mean?
Sweet.
Lots of planes crashing all over the world, maybe?
Means he smokes weed.
Global and epic.
Yeah.
Well, we've got a couple years to worry about that. Mm.
Regarding the end of Lost, he said, personally, it's relief. I owe the show a great amount, and I think it's exceptionally good, but I am looking forward to the freedom that comes with not working on one project professionally. All of us knew that the story was strung out indefinitely, it would ruin it. It's not like a doctor drama where you can have a new case each week. So he's got bittersweet feelings about the ending of Lost. He'll miss the show.
You have a firm grasp of the obvious.
That living in Hawaii and...
Yeah. He doesn't have to leave Hawaii.
And living in Hawaii.
More TV news. Taylor Swift has snagged a guest role on CSI. William Peterson goes, Taylor Swift comes in. I like it. That's a good trade-off.
Equal trade?
Yeah. Did you know that Taylor Swift, as a tangent, was 2008's best-selling artist?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
She sold more than 4 million albums.
Oh, wow. More than any other band or recording
artist?
Top-selling
artist in 2008, Taylor Swift.
I believe her album is still this week number one on the charts, by the way.
Really?
Her current album, yeah.
That's shocking.
Yeah, she's popular.
Taylor will play a teenage girl whose family manages a seedy Las Vegas motel. In the episode, they haven't announced the air date yet, but she is currently filming.
Boobs.
Oh, I hope she needs an autopsy. You know what I'm saying?
Sort of.
I'd like to give her an autopsy.
All right, come on, Ralph.
With my stethoscope. You know what I'm saying?
Recognize!
Girl! Holla!
I hate Ed.
Recognize!
I hate Ed. How does he get things started so quickly? See that episode of Scrubs where
intern
Ed came up with Recognize and everybody was doing it?
Yes.
Zach Braff was furious that everyone was
funny.
Picking up on his thing so quickly. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs and CDs are in stores today. CDs, none really that we care about. But
what?
But DVDs.
Tell me.
Oh, Lisa.
Right.
My best friend's girl, Dane Cook and Kate Hudson.
I am rigid.
Yeah, I missed that one.
Yeah,
what else you got?
Darn it.
I got Swing Vote. Swing Vote, Kevin Costner and Kelsey Grammer.
Oh, missed that one too.
But the one country bumpkin whose vote matters.
What else you got?
Come on, I've got Without a Paddle. Two. Direct-to-DVD sequel, Nature Calling. Without a Paddle 2.
Without a Paddle 2.
The direct-to-DVD sequel.
Those are always the best movies.
They are. Nature's Calling, it's called. Called.
Yeah.
One good DVD today, the movie Appaloosa, the Western with Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen.
Yes.
I don't remember that
one. In case you missed that in theaters, you can pick it up.
That is on demand concurrently today, too. So you don't have...
Tom Dien.
If you have on demand, you can just get it right at your house. You don't have to go to the...
Well,
thanks for breaking in with that, Mike.
I'm sure video stores all over America are thanking you for that information.
Good information.
Thank you, Mike. Little Britain USA, the first season on DVD, and Till Death, the complete second season with Brad Garrett and Jolie Fisher. Buy it or Brad Garrett will punch you. I've seen it happen. Just in a parking lot. Dudes, I'm not buying Till Death. Bam! Just took him out. Smack. Today's celebrity birthdays, Julia Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld, and my name is Samantha who, Christine? She's 40. She's got some sitcom. I can never remember the name.
Samantha who?
Nope. No.
Oh, you're talking about?
It's Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus.
Yeah, what is that?
The New
What's
Adventures
called,
of Old Christine.
The New Adventures of Old Christine. There's
That's
your
show.
It's a good show.
Yeah, it is, Lisa.
Yes,
you
it is.
Enjoy that.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Ooh, Lost is too confusing for me. I'm going to go watch Old Christine have some new adventures.
I can understand.
Patrick Dempsey's 43.
Lisa likes her stories. You know, Ralph.
Tracy Bingham's 41. Nicole Eggert is 37 years old today. And Orlando Bloom celebrates his 32nd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. And I walk the movie beat and showbiz beat and several other beats.
All of the above.
Yes. Beats. Lots of beats.
Thank you, Ralph, and thanks to all of our special guests on this morning's show, including Sarah Chalk. Of course, brand new episodes of Scrubs tonight at 9 and 9:30 on ABC. Thanks to Gugu the Killer Panda for joining us. And thanks to our favorite stripper ever, Austin, for stopping by today. Although it wouldn't hurt to get a little demonstration before she stepped out. We didn't think of that, but that was a lot of fun.
She can't be my favorite stripper if she's never been naked on my lap. I'm sorry.
Well, that's never happened for
me
in any way.
She's a good stripper. She's right up there. but there has to be some stripping
in there. I remember.
I just enjoyed the conversation.
A long time ago, taking Bean to a strip club, and it was not sexy.
Didn't we take one in Mexico?
In Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that one.
That was another one.
Where we talked about taking, what was it? The
Viagra. Went Viagra to pharmacy.
And it did nothing but
hey,
make his head hurt.
How you feeling, man? How's it?
You have that headache.
Oh, I've got a pounding headache. Nothing's happening downstairs. It's like story of Bean's life. Donna must hear that every freaking weekend.
This afternoon at 5, Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde, we're going to tell you about a dude who bet weed when he was gambling, which is strong.
Sweet.
Stolen puppies for Christmas and naked skiers.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. And I'm going to win the lottery all this afternoon.
What?
Yep.
You have a plan?
I have a great plan, yes. It's to scratch the scratcher.
I don't understand how they work.
Never occurred to me to scratch.
The scratchers. What do you do to them, the scratchers?
That'll be between 5 and 6 this afternoon on K-Rock. But don't go anywhere because Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock, including some Linkin Park, Blink-182, Kings of Leon, Alice in Chains, She's Good, and more right after this on K-Rock. This is Kevin's last appearance on K-Rock because he's convinced he's going to win $10 million in the California State Lottery. He'll be scratching off his tickets, and there's a backstory to those tickets in about 15 minutes or so here on K-Rock.
Be the best.
Yeah.
First of all, I love the internet, as you guys know, and I think I figured out why. Besides the free porn, it's that I used to only be able to read as much news as was available in the newspapers in my town.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But now, thanks to the internet, there's no story that ever happens around the world that I can't know about within 15 minutes, and that's why it's so great to be able to stay so current and catch up with all these phenomenal things that are happening to people.
And Bean does. He knows everything that goes on. He has some kind of texting program that sends him anytime
alerts.
Something happens.
Yeah, pretty
he's
much.
Got an alert. I enjoy staying current, that's all. Would I have ever found out about the naked skier in Vail, Colorado from a few days ago, on New Year's Day? Would I have ever found out about that if it weren't for the miracle of the internet?
I'm guessing no, and if you want to go to the internet right now, you can go to krock.com, the Kevin and Bean page. There are pictures up on the front page. There was a dude, this is the Kevin and Bean Citizen of the Day section.
Okay.
There was a dude who was skiing Vail, and apparently his ski got caught in the ski lift, and he fell over and was hanging from the chair.
Okay.
His pants were down, and he was pretty much naked.
Oh, no.
Hanging there for 15 minutes. Skiers were going by, taking photos of him and everything else, and he couldn't figure out how to get out. And finally, they ended up bringing the chair back around.
Oh, and so he had to go around naked?
Yes. And help him off.
Oh, my God.
So to speak.
Yeah, so funny. We talk about so often on this show how things can go from great to awful in a second. He's standing there at 1 minute on New Year's Day. He's skiing Vail, and he's thinking, I'm on the top of the world right now. Yeah. I'm having the best vacation of my life. This is so great. 15 seconds later, his leg's caught in the chairlift, and he's hanging upside down with everything from the waist down, or in this case, because he's upside down, the waist up, exposed to the world.
You can see his pants there. His ski pants are about at the top of his ski boots, but that's it. And then he's got a sweater on that starts halfway up his stomach because he's hanging upside down.
Oh, that's so humiliating.
It's one of the most embarrassing photos I've ever seen.
And so cold.
And he was there for
so cold.
15 minutes he was upside down like that.
And by the way, that's a great point. It's bad enough that happens, that you had to live through that you had to experience that moment. Then you find out afterwards that somebody took a picture of it, and it's not only on websites, including ours, all over the world, but you know it's hanging in every bar in Vail, Colorado.
Sure.
And always will be.
Of course someone took a picture of it.
The guy who took the picture was a photographer that takes pictures at Vail of people on the ski lifts and stuff, but he was in his off time. He had his own camera. And he snapped a photo of it, and it's for everyone to see, and it is supremely embarrassing.
That's a beautiful thing.
Got to check it out on the K-Rock website.
That's one of the stories that we want to highlight for you. Another one comes from the Orange County Register. This is a 23-year-old named Ryan Rickman who gave his girlfriend a dog for Christmas, a puppy.
Aww. How sweet.
How nice is that? Here's the story.
Safe and sound, a 3-month-old Labrador puppy stolen from a Staten pet shop 3 days before Christmas has been returned.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry, what?
He stole it from a pet shop.
Stole it
3 days before Christmas and then gave it to his girlfriend for Christmas. Stolen. $1,300 dog stolen.
Wow. Dude.
Puppy napping was caught on surveillance tape, and then that tape given to Eyewitness News and other media, and that led authorities to a suspect who returned the puppy. As it turns out, the dog was an ill-conceived Christmas gift for the suspect's girlfriend, who has now paid for the dog and taken him home. The suspect has been booked for suspicion of burglary.
Can you imagine? Oh, Merry Christmas. Yeah, oh, I just thought you would like it. I really, oh, I'm glad you like it. Then she had to pay $1,300.
Oh, my God.
I hope she kept the dog if she had already bonded with the dog and lost the boyfriend. I hope that's the choice she made.
Yeah, no kidding.
You're an idiot.
That's good news.
And then there's one other Kevin Bean citizen of the day, and I don't know if you saw this story, but this dude bet weed. And this might be one of the best stories I've ever seen. Here you go.
On a downtown Fresno sidewalk, this man is being placed in handcuffs.
What a surprise. It's in Fresno.
But he didn't rob a store or assault someone. Actually, he did something else that left officers scratching their heads in amazement.
Nothing at all. What happened?
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all happened? Well, why are you in handcuffs then?
Minutes earlier, inside the Casino One gambling establishment, the subject sat at a card game. And when it was time to place his bet...
Now, you got to know this is going poorly. The guy's trying to figure out what he can bet.
Mm-hmm.
He's sitting at a card game in a casino.
Right.
He put a large amount of marijuana right out on the table. For a moment, the dealer and other gamblers can't believe it. Then the man decides he's bet too much pot.
Oh, wait a minute. That's too much.
I got to save some for the weekend.
I can't bet that much. I need to pull some back.
So he takes the bag away and simply spreads out a handful of loose buds. Outside, police question the man who claims what he did was legal because he had a cannabis club card he got on the internet. Wrong, say police.
You do have your cannabis card on you?
Yeah, I do.
Do you, like, frequent flyer miles with that? Or?
Trying my left hand.
And the amount of pot in the man's pockets is substantial, apparently more than an ounce. He's taken into custody, and because he tried to bet with the pot, in addition to possession, he could face additional charges of possession with intent to distribute.
Oh.
Investigating officers say they still can't imagine just why the man tried to bet weed on a hand of five-card bud.
Listen to the guy they were interviewing. You can tell why he...
Oh, yeah, that guy
weed.
Was baked out of his mind.
Oh, my God.
But I like that he took the bag back and just put some just some stems out there.
I like hearing a newscaster say, he put out some buds.
They, in casinos, I'm sure, and Kevin, you've been there, you're out of cash. And you start looking, wow, do I have a belt buckle that's worth anything?
No, you don't. You walk
fillings.
Away.
No, that's not what you do.
Walk you away. Get your, who's got a belt one buckle that anybody wants to bet for?
One more hand, dude. I got to get it back. Come on.
A bag of weed.
That's fantastic.
Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot. Let's go smoke some pot.
K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde song. That, of course, is Kanon and featuring, Kurt from Metallica.
Nice.
How about that?
On the guitar.
Apparently, they were both playing Bonnaroo out in Tennessee last year. That's when they met, and they became friends and now musical collaborators. That song is on a Kanon album that'll be out on February the 24th. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. As I understand, Kevin, we have one last piece of holiday business that we need to take care of here at K-Rock.
Bean is a strange guy, and Beer Mug sent lottery tickets for Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, everybody knows, you know, that's a pretty good gift because it only costs him a buck or two or whatever. He sent four of them to each of us. And Bean said thank you to him, and then
I was very touched, by the way, that Beer Mug even thought of me, even considered sending me a Christmas card, much less a gift. I was very moved by his effort.
Yeah,
right.
It was really nice.
So then Beer Mug said, so did you win? And Bean said, did I win what? And he said, the scratcher. And Bean said, oh, I did. What did he say? I don't believe in that. What were his exact words? I don't believe in that.
I don't believe in that.
I don't understand what that means.
But we didn't either. We thought...
It's like Tinkerbell. If you don't believe in the lottery tickets, they do just disappear.
I guess if you don't believe in it enough, like that your odds aren't high enough that it's worth the money. I mean, I guess I could understand that whether to buy them or not. But if somebody gets them for you, they're called scratchers.
I guess. It never... I mean, here's the point.
Another thing he said. It never dawned on me to actually scratch them.
Well, that's
they're
the
called
thing.
Scratchers. It's like getting a shirt from someone saying, it never dawned for me to put it over my head and onto my shoulders and torso. How could it not occur to you?
That's what I don't understand.
The first thing, the only thing that occurs to you when you get a scratcher is to scratch it.
I opened the envelope.
There is no other purpose.
I saw it and I thought, that's really nice. Thanks, Beer Mug. I'm glad you sent that to me. That's really nice of you. But I never took it to the next step, which is to see if I'd won any money.
It's not the next step. It's the step. It's one step.
It's the only step.
You get a scratcher, you scratch it. That's the only connection it has with the physical plane.
I agreed that I struggle and that I don't deserve to win money from the lottery if that's where I'm coming from. So I sent them to Kevin, and I'm going to give Kevin the winnings. If he scratches and he wins, then it's my loss.
I so hope this wins.
Millions and millions of dollars.
I'm going to split it with everyone but Bean.
Yes.
Wouldn't it be hilarious if it actually did end up winning?
It would.
All right.
$10,000.
I need a 6, and I didn't get a 6. I got a 50. I got a 10.
Which game are you playing?
Yeah, which card are you? Which card?
tremendous scratches.
Maybe for those of us who can't see the card, which game are you playing, and
this
how does it work?
This is the Trump card.
Okay. So you get a card. You get a card.
You get a card.
And you also get a Trump card.
Yeah.
One of each. And if you get the Trump card number, if you match that one, then you get five times the amount that you would win.
Shut up, Mike. I know I'm doing it wrong.
How can you do it wrong? Well, you scratch.
Because you're setting it on fire. He's putting it underwater.
I wasn't winning, so I had to keep going.
How can you tell? You can't see.
Did he scratch off all the numbers?
No. He just didn't scratch. I mean, it's just like cat scratching.
All right, 24 or 35.
You're not supposed to scratch with a crayon. You know that, right, Kevin?
Died.
You have to use a coin or some kind.
All right, let's see.
What are you now, on the Jingle Balls?
That's a...
You've moved on to another card because your play-by-play sucks.
I've moved on to the Jingle Bucks.
Yeah.
And,
okay.
This one, you
the Trump card did not pan out for Kevin.
No, you scrape the number, and then it tells you how much you win.
So you match that number.
So my number's 24. I got a 29, a 31, a 34, a 35, a 33. Come on. This would only be sweet because Bean didn't do it. 10, 7.
At least I would have known how to do it.
50. No, you wouldn't.
I don't think you would.
You wouldn't have
at least I would have been able to
all
figure
right
it out.
That Jingle Bucks didn't win, but this Trump card, this is going to totally win.
Oh, okay. Got another Trump card.
No question about that.
Okay.
I know it seems like we're just wasting time, but believe me, you'll never forget this moment if, in fact, Kevin wins $1 million.
That would be so awesome.
Most of the cards, I think you just win hundreds of thousands. I don't think you can actually win millions.
That'd be okay, too.
I would take hundreds of thousands. I think
100,000 would
be a burn for the guy that drives 10 miles to save a buck.
Yeah, he is the cheapest man alive. That's why it's funny that he wouldn't think of scratching.
Free money. It's like getting practically free money. And he turned up his nose.
Yeah. I don't know why I never thought of scratching these tickets.
That can't be possible.
You can't not have thought about scratching them.
I didn't think of it.
You had to make the choice not to scratch them, but it's not possible that you didn't think about the potential possibility of scratching them.
You had
them
to say, I won't win, so it's not worth my effort.
I didn't think that. Until Beer Mug said on the air, did you win? It never even occurred to me that, I guess I could have scratched those to see if I won anything. It didn't even occur to me.
They are scratchers.
I know that.
That's what you do.
But that's the whole gift. He didn't want you just to look at the card and say, I'm so grateful. He wanted you to win money.
How are you doing on the cards right
Jingle
now?
Jingle Bucks, I didn't win anything.
You didn't win anything. All right, so we're 0-3 so far. One more ticket.
We've gone through them all.
We've gone through them all, so 0-4. So that was...
Shoot, that would have been so sweet.
What a stupid gift, Beer Mug.
No, I think he's just fooling people. He's just playing around.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Look, before we get into Ralph Showbiz Beat, we're 2 hours and some change away from a brand new season of American Idol. Rather than hate, rather than mock, Kevin, why not jump on board starting tonight and be one of the cool kids?
I don't like the music that they sing.
But they're going to change it, I think. They're going to try to get more contemporary music.
Sure they are. And and I don't do karaoke without being drunk.
You don't have to perform on American Idol. You just have to watch, you know.
But I'm not interested.
Dad, I'd watch.
Yeah, I would, too.
I don't have any interest because it seems bad. It's just karaoke on a bunch of songs I don't
love.
Well, then don't watch it. You don't have to watch it.
It's not about the music. It's about the kids who are participating and trying to win. It's about the competition.
It's about that Ford commercial. That's a half hour long.
It is about the Ford commercial.
But if there's going to be a new Catherine McPhee or some other goddess out there that we get to meet on our TV starting tonight, why not be there to enjoy that? Why not be there to see her for the first time?
I understand I'm in the minority. I get it. Everybody talks about American Idol. I get that. I just can't.
I'm just saying tonight's the night. You ought to rethink your position.
I'm not even close.
You can get on board with a new season.
But I'm not close to getting on board.
If you were to watch, you would connect up with some contestant. You would have a rooting interest.
I want to watch less this year than I ever have before.
You've never watched before, though.
That's correct.
And I want to watch less than that.
That's what I'm saying.
Give it a chance.
You can't scratch lottery tickets, and you can't watch the number one show in the history of television.
If you had the choice between watching American Idol or eating your own eye,
I would eat my own eye.
Which do you think?
That's
you
correct. I would eat my own eye, like the Texas dude in Death Row.
He's pretending to be crazy.
I'm just saying. I don't think he's really that crazy.
Ralph, he ate both his eyes.
He did pull out both eyes.
What more evidence do you need?
I'm saying he's faking it.
If he'd eaten a third eye, then maybe I'd start to believe he was crazy.
Here's what Bean said, and I bought it. Let me just run this by you. The guy's on death row for eating a kid's heart.
His own kid.
His own kid. Didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay.
Killed his wife, his older child, and his 13-month-old child.
Oh, no.
Okay, so he's on death row, and he pulls an eye out and eats it. Okay.
Earlier.
Yeah. During the trial, right. So now the story comes out that he pulled out his other eye and ate it, and Bean says that's because he was trying to act crazy.
He's trying to fool people into thinking he's crazy.
They wouldn't put him to death.
He wants to get off with an insanity plea.
You ever accidentally poke yourself in the eye with your finger? You clutch your head, screaming, that's the worst pain I could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
Now, think about taking your eye out and eating it. Then saying, no, I'm not done yet.
I'm going to do that again.
That whole thing I just went through, I can stand that again just to fool people into thinking I'm crazy.
No, does he have to go above and beyond crazy. Eating his kid's heart to prove that he's crazy?
For Bean, apparently he does. No, Bean's not quite convinced.
Bean still doesn't think he's crazy.
I think he's putting us on.
He ate both eyes. And Bean's like,
he's having a laugh.
You don't know, man. You don't know.
What's it take for a guy to be crazy?
You don't know.
Really? What does a guy have to do?
In Bean's world, think about it.
That's true.
Yeah.
All right, time for the show business.
That's not a bad eating, guys. I can do that. Oh, I love this kind of stuff. Great new book out called Toy Monster, The Big Bad World of Mattel. Talks about the creator of Barbie and how he was a full-blown sex addict pervert.
Oh, no.
Hence Barbie's measurements?
Yeah, Lisa.
Oh,
that's
no.
What I'm talking about. Hey, look, did you have sisters? Anybody here have sisters besides me? Yeah.
I did not.
Did you ever get a hold of Barbie?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
And then do, like, weird things and put her in weird positions and stuff?
Oh, dude.
That's what this guy built her for.
Oh, no. That's what the guy intended?
He got the idea for Barbie and her measurements from an obscure German sex doll.
Oh, no.
Brought the concept back to the States and then created it for little girls to play with?
Man cannon.
Wow. Parents are rushing home all over Los Angeles to throw that away.
Yeah, and they should.
Apparently, the guy's name was Jack Ryan. He was the toy designer. And he was so obsessed with Barbie after he created her that he paid for his multiple wives and innumerable girlfriends to have cosmetic surgery in order to more closely resemble Barbie.
Dude. Wow.
He would then often enjoy cocaine-fueled orgies in his black fox fur-lined dungeon.
Yes!
With these women.
Yes, yes, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Did he ever eat his own eye?
And then he ate his own eyes. Apparently Bean thought he was perfectly sane. So, that's the new book about the true story of the guy who created Barbie, and I just couldn't be happier.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
That's not good.
However, he was offended when he sent away the initial Barbie prototype to be manufactured. They came back from Japan with nipples, and he filed them off.
Oh.
That upset him?
That's one he would not go there. That's unacceptable.
Why?
And he ate the nipples.
Oh.
Yeah. So, Toy Monster is the name of the book, but it sounds fascinating, and I love it.
That's bad news.
It's great news. Jennifer Love Hewitt, she's got some bad news. She's got a stalker. A 62-year-old stalker. Jennifer Love picked up a restraining order yesterday in the L.A. Superior Court against David Nolte, who moved from Colorado to Los Angeles just to be near her and has been stalking her for the past 2 years.
Oh, wow, that's serious.
Ew.
He has sent her more than 120 threatening and harassing correspondence.
Did he eat his own eye?
He did not eat his own eye yet. Disturbing and violent letters that reference weapons and his own fantasies where Jennifer Love Hewitt is impaled.
Wait, how many letters?
I've had some fantasies about impaling Jennifer Love Hewitt.
How many letters did he send?
120. I'm glad she finally got a restraining order.
I was going to say, nobody took any action at number 50? 75?
12 would be good for
100?
Me.
100?
Yeah. So, 62-year-old stalker, though. You got to give the guy a little credit. 62 years old, he's still stalking. Come on, let's hear it. Let's hear it for elderly stalkers. You don't hear about them very often.
That's not impressive.
For him, he's staying current. He didn't retire. A lot of guys at 62, a lot of stalkers at 62 would retire, but not David Nolte.
Take their pensions and just move on?
Get their gold watch and just start stalking people in a home somewhere, but not him. He's still out and about. God bless him.
That's not good.
And Hilary Duff has a new show on NBC.
Oh, good.
She'll be playing...
It's called Teeth?
Yes. It's a drama where she plays an 18-year-old who passes the California bar exam and becomes the state's youngest attorney.
Nope.com.
A drama called Barely Legal.
Well, I like the title. If we could go back and rethink the concept of the show.
I do, too.
Hmm.
So that's Hilary Duff's first primetime nighttime series.
on NBC.
You guys seen her her remake and video of the Depeche Mode song? Reach Out?
No.
Oh, dear God.
Hillary Duff doing Reach Out?
Yes.
That sounds like it should be up there with Big and Rich's Fight for Your Right to Party.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. And you're going to find this hard to believe in conclusion. Gary Busey is a little crazy.
Really?
What? Yeah.
He seems so normal on the Celebrity Rehab.
Recently, he was in a beauty supply store in Malibu, California.
Yeah.
And the retail clerk behind the counter was so helpful, Gary couldn't help himself, grabbed the young lady, and started to kiss her.
Oh, no.
That's scary.
That doesn't sound like what anyone would want.
According to witnesses, she was okay with the actor's quirks and seemed to be more than tolerant of his spontaneous display of affection.
Well, she must have known him from before or something. That's a scary dude.
But she's not pressing charges. That's all I know. So.
Wow.
That's a good result, I think, for Gary Busey. Because I get the sense most times he goes into a store, it ends with someone pressing charges.
I would guess so.
I just get that vibe. It's Tuesday. That means new DVDs in stores today. Here's what you have to choose from. Little Britain, USA, the HBO series. Available on DVD. Till Death, the second season of the Brad Garrett sitcom. Is also available in the movies. Appaloosa. I almost said Lollapalooza.
That'd yeah,
a very different.
DVD.
Mm-hmm. The Western with Ed Harris and Viggo Mortensen is available. Mirrors with Kiefer Sutherland. That's the one where the creepy people come through the mirrors.
Oh, and that's
you,
right.
The horror
yeah.
movie. Swing Vote with Kevin Costner. My Best Friend's Girl with Kate Hudson and Dane Cook. Wow, it's got Kate Hudson and Dane Cook? They should charge twice the
that's
price.
That's a twofer
for that.
Right there.
And Without a Paddle 2, Nature's Calling, the sequel to Without a Paddle. Going direct to DVD. Available today.
Which guarantees its goodness?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus from Seinfeld is 48 years old today. Patrick Dempsey turns 43. Tracy Bingham from Baywatch is 41. Nicole Eggert from Baywatch and Charles in Charge. Let's not forget her performance on that. 37. And Orlando Bloom turns 32 as we look at celebrity birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. And tomorrow morning, of course, we'll be back with the early edition of the Kevin and Bean Show for a Wednesday. What do we have on tap for us, Kevin?
We have LaQuisha talking about A Double Shot at Love.
Okay.
Which is just train wreck television at its best. Very exciting.
I think this is the episode where she goes, the twins go to all the families of the four remaining lesbians and guys.
Ah, excellent. Yeah. Excellent. We also have You Thought It Was a Girl When You Bought Her a Drink or Took Her Home. we're going to have some highlights of American Idol. Bean's going to do that.
Oh, good.
So I refuse maybe to like to bring those in, Kevin, since you're going to be watching.
Not
now.
Interested. Can't thank wait. You.
Bad
very busy tonight.
Best.
Very.
But when you hear the tape tomorrow of the Bad Singers tonight, you're going to wish you'd seen them.
I do enjoy the Bad Singers, but it sounds like there's going to be a lot less of it this year.
They're going to do less episodes of it.
Yeah, so I'm still out.
The early episodes will continue.
I'll be excited
auditions.
To hear those clips from Bean.
Oh,
and
definitely.
We'll talk about how the Cardinals are going to kick the Eagles' ass this weekend.
Of course, Kevin, a longtime Arizona Cardinals super fan for years. He's been following every movement of the team. And
I
now
have.
He
thank
could
you for
not
noticing.
Be more excited about their recent success.
That is correct.
Yeah,
yes,
finally.
Just look at the full-size tattoo on his chest of the Cardinals logo.
Every Sunday he's in that Cardinals bar down there
I
in
am.
Santa Monica.
That's right.
He wears a jersey after every victory. I've seen him wearing that jersey all the time. Yeah.
All right. All of that tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. But don't go anywhere. Nicole is up next with 40 minutes of nonstop K-Rock music, including the Smashing Pumpkins covering Fleetwood Mac, oddly enough. Also, MGMT, System of a Down, the new one from Papa Roach, and more next on K-Rock.